Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Them kids in school. You ever know them dudes that get mad at the motherfucker, right? You be dumb. Say, black boy.
Say, man. What you mean, black? Baby, I'm colored. I don't play that shit.
Well, my parents was like that, you know, because in my neighborhood, you know, shit, you know, really nice shit, you know. Black is beautiful. Remember the essence of life. We are people of the universe, and life is beautiful. My parents go, that nigga crazy. I used to love to go to the meetings, though, when you get down. I got ultra black for a while. No, I did. I got down into it. I was into it. I'd go to meetings and shit. And brothers be rapping. I never knew what they were saying, though. But the brothers be having emotion. You see, the transitionalization within the imperialist society has represented a cause whereas we can entangle and understand the mass procedure. Now, you may not dig this, bro, but dig this. The first thing you got to know is about eating pork. Now, you eat a piece of pork, you don't realize the subtlifications of this individuality's prospect. What the man trying to lay on you through porkitis, you will not understand because the trichinosis of your mind will not relinquish the thought of individuality. You know what I mean? So therefore, you must assimilate within the functional society, not the society, but the us-society, because without the S, is no us involved. We must manipulate ourselves through a transitionalized form in order to cast a wombness that a black child can be born for forthwith, individual and not.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, May 21, 2020. So I have been told we weren't even supposed to be here today. I was supposed to be in Toronto. We were not going to have a book club because we were supposed to be in the middle of our 2020 counter-racist yoga retreat in Canada and in the Rona. So instead of being in Toronto, having fun, vegan plant-based pizza, all the goodies on the menu, doing some yoga, hanging out with some listeners, we are here. Reading the worst book I've ever read. I'm repulsed every time I have to put my hands on this book. I literally throw it out of my room every Thursday, and it stays out until the next week when I have to get ready to read again. I absolutely loathe, hate, despise The Nutritional Destruction of Black People. Worst book I've ever read. I'm counting down the seconds until we are done with this filth so I can burn this book. I will only say again, there are many problems, concerns that I have with this book. The errors, typos, poor editing, all of that. There's a portion this week where I think the word that they meant was mortality, M-O-R-T-A-L-I-T-Y, mortality. I'm not a spelling bee champ at all, but I do know mortality is different from morality, M-O-R-A-L-I-T-Y, morality. They are not the same. I saw this, and I was going to change it because I said, I think it means mortality here, but then I said, I'm not changing anything else. I'm not guessing about words. They wanted this to be correct. They should have edited it correctly themselves the first time around. I have pointed out for people who don't have the book, just because I'm narrating, that it has bothered me greatly because many times these typos, errors, edits, they make it difficult for me to read. I'm narrating the text, so it causes more confusion where I have to try to stop and figure out what's going on and all the rest of it. Normally, the books that we get, they're well edited, so this isn't a problem. Generally speaking, I'm not someone who is a grammar hound and is just going to fight you down. You left that apostrophe, you know, you ended your sentence in a prepositional phrase or preposition, that type of thing. I'm, you know, not on that. Let's just try to get through as best we can to articulate our views. But this is like poor editing leading to confusion, and in a book that's already got nonsense, Afro-Spiritualcanality and African Liberation Army, that didn't have typos that make it even more confusing. Woo! Please, God, let us hurry up and get through this book as soon as possible. We will get started. I don't even remember what chapter we're in. I think chapter 3. So disgusted with this book. Yes, we're at the end of chapter 3, A Divine Mess. And matter of fact, we stopped last week on 218 in my book where he was talking about the African racial superiority. And that was the point where I reached my tipping point with this text last week. But that's what we're picking up at. The Cows. Book study session number 7, Dr. Layla Africa, Nutritional Destruction of Black People, audio segment 1. Caucasian science and religions use myths and superstitions to focus attention away from Ankh force. These media are destructive to the harmony of Africans. For example, Caucasian science pits good bacteria against bad bacteria, and religions use good social behavior against bad behavior instead of science. The only true science is the study of Ankh force, melanin, conjuring, divining, ma'at, and spirituality. Caucasian science is not the study of Ankh force, but superstitions. It is superstition to believe that bacteria cause disease. Disease is merely the accumulation of toxins and waste in the body caused by incorrect food combinations, junk food, drugs, alcohol, dairy products, animal flesh, cooked concoctions, and a disregard for the spiritual nature of vegetables and fruits. Africans become physically, spiritually, and mentally ill when they do not use Ankh nutritional force. Ankh has to be used to maintain health. Nutricide is caused when Caucasian media, sciences, religion, school textbooks classifies divining as unscientific or non-religious. Divineness becomes engulfed in negative taboos and confused with folk tales, which distorts its value in the science of living. Divining and ma'at is part of the nutritional reality for an African life. The nutritional divining destruction is caused when Africans worship scientific or cultural ceremonies, rituals, customs, etiquette, manners, a specific culture's morality, discipline, laws, and social order. Another culture's science or religious written books create a divine mess with the African. Alien cultures' religious books demonstrate how another culture accepted or rejected a religion. In those religious books, prophets lecture to the people of their culture and stated rules of behaviors within their culture for the people of their culture. In 99% of cases, the prophet is never a woman, which is directly opposed to African spirituality and wisdom. Incidentally, African spirituality teaches that sin is punishment for bad behavior, while blessings are rewards for good behavior. In other religions, it is believed that you are punished by your sins, not for your sins. It is considered sinful not to follow the male prophet, which means follow the prophet's culture. This teaching of positive cultural customs is erroneously called spirituality. The prophet and culture become more important than spirituality. Religious preachers teach culture and social science. Teaching spirituality would demand the teaching of the subject of nutrition, melanin, and taking physical action to get freedom. Afrocentric spirituality requires the use of divining ability to know who you are, what your purpose in life is, and taking holistic action to achieve that purpose. In other words, the use of divining, Ankh crystals, trance, droughts, pendulums, Egyptian tarot cards, zodiac, divining dice, shells, are an essential part of being African. Divining helps to sensitize the body and nutrients in foods for the Africans who seek spiritual endarkenment from preachers of various Caucasian cultural type religions. Unfortunately, Africans are taught to ignore the vital part of their spiritualization, divining. The Caucasian preachers do not speak directly about the Afrocentric rules of spirituality or divining abilities because this would make the follower free of the preacher and religion. The media vaguely correlates spirituality to social myths, superstitions, animal sacrifices, fables, scripture, gossip, wars and battles between gods, prophets and tribes, murder, rapes, or politics. Furthermore, the preachers give Caucasian cultural significance to Bible, Quran, gossip, and do not directly teach the rules of Afrocentric spirituality or divining. This causes the believers to have knowledge about social life and none about spiritual willing regeneration, cyclic laws, or nutritional transmutation. African nutrition, biology, anatomy, and chemistry are spiritual science that requires using divine abilities. Preachers and religions omit the divine abilities. To them, divining abilities are erroneously interpreted as witchcraft. Religious institutions are designed to promote, create, recruit, propagandize, and economically feed religion to humans. Followers of religious worship the religion of profit, while God becomes a secondary issue. If the prophet or preacher eats junk food, animal flesh, uses Caucasian science, then the followers do the same. It is ungodly to harm or destroy the living temple of God with junk food, junk culture, junk religions, and junk science. It is easy for Africans to follow Caucasian junk science, nutrition, and medicine because they are forms of religion. They use superstition, scientific or scriptural gossip, violence, sex, and good against evil ideas. Disease is considered evil and divine ability is considered evil, while in reality they are both healthy for the African. Diseases are a cleansing process of the body. Divining is a spiritualizing process for nutrients, melanin, and the Ankh force. The nutritional upliftment of Africans has to be free of superstitions, myths, and Caucasian culture, media, and worship. There is a difference between respecting prophets and worshiping prophets. The worshiper believes in a prophet, religion, and gathers scientific or scriptural gossip to support that belief. The African who uses divining is led to respect a prophet and worship God. An endarkened African understands that nutrients are spirits and science is a spirit language used to help understand nutrients. Nutrients merely react to a common force in harmony with the body. In other words, if you eat an apple, your body does not become half apple and half human. It reacts to nutrients in the apple. The spiritual nutrients, mental nutrients, and physical nutrients are parts of all vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. For a nutrient such as glutamic acid is good for cellular repair, improving memory, and directing Ankh. In other words, glutamic acid is holistic. However, Caucasian science, myth, and superstition limits and enslaves nutrients and stops their spiritual use. The Caucasian science belief can stop the African's ability to divine and holistically use Ma'at. Caucasian science gossip limits vitamin A's nutritional use. It is believed that vitamin A is primarily good for infection and the eyes. This is true, but it is not the full scope of vitamin A's holistic capacity. This belief held in an African's mind and spirit harms vitamin A and diseases the African. Vitamin A is not found isolated in a plant. It is part of a nutrient family. Vitamin A is in a communal relationship with other vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. It does not function alone. It is part of a holistic team of body, mind, and spirit nutrients. However, Caucasian self-centered behavior projects this behavior on chemicals, vitamins, minerals. It is believed that nutrients behave like white people. Vitamin A is believed to come from nothing and return to nothing. It comes from destruction and will destroy itself. Vitamin A is considered a nutrient slave designed to serve the white race. Africans who nutricidally follow this science gossip psychologically stop vitamin A from being holistic. Vitamin A can be good for infections, help memory storage, and harmonize spirit to spirit energies. Vitamin A has abilities beyond Caucasian science gossip and is in harmony when it is spiritually free to act communally within the body. The communal nutrients from a natural foods diet cure the body of disease. Ironically, the healing of a scratch on the arm is the same biological process as the curing of cancers, fibroid tumors, VD, ulcers, colds, or dandruff. A natural food diet is assurance of a cure, not health insurance. Health insurance is a junk food eating African's only protection against disease instead of the divineness of nature. Health insurance businesses charge everyone for the illness of a few. They force Africans to use drugs and surgery and to eat junk food while in hospitals. This causes more disease and increases insurance company profits and damages the health spirit of Africans. The Caucasians deliberately teach African children and scientists to ignore Ankh force. This is destructive nutritionally, mentally, and spiritually. Ankh is commonly labeled life force, prana, chakra, electromagnetic energy, radionics, acupuncture, meridians, consciousness, conjure, extrasensory perception, divine, the seventh sense, audiovoyance, clairvoyance, etc. All seen and unseen matter has intelligence within it that is Ankh. All matter, such as thoughts, emotions, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, plants, cells, atmosphere, galaxy, and planets, absorb, store, and transmit Ankh force. The great African-American alchemist George Washington Carver referred to it as listening to the intelligence of nature. He often said the peanut told him what to do. Some Africans need a medium such as tarot cards, pendulums, crystals, shells, and zodiac, auras, ancestors, or a trance to help them communicate with the Ankh force, while others communicate directly. This communication is called divining. An African who does not use divining and adopts Caucasian culture in the form of sciences is a divine mess that is nutricidal. Caucasian science media is simply used to enslave Africans' Ankh force. This childish, Caucasian, superstitious science propaganda is called pure science, while African, spiritualized science is called primitive, unscientific, evil ignorance, or witchcraft. An African who does not use his Ankh force also dislocates his ability to be healthy. Health can only be obtained by divine use of Ankh force. Ankh force is the language of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, vegetables, proteins, and carbohydrates. They vibrate to their highest nutrient level in a body that is spiritualized with Ankh force. Without Ankh force, the African is an unhealthy imitation Caucasian and a diseased African. Africans naturally rely upon Ankh force to feed and nourish their lives. The divining ability was used in a trance by all ancient African professionals such as scientist, herbalist, nutritionist, doctor, engineer, teacher, musician, athlete, agriculturalist, architect, administrator, as well as children and adults in their everyday life. Divining and trance is a tradition in African culture. Caucasians have whitewashed Africans to accept a cartoon fantasy science and a white religious divine mess. The power of the mind to cause divining and psychosomatic diseases cannot be denied. There are those who have spiritual and mental depression. They express their depression by exaggerated and imaginary fears of physical diseases. In the cases of Africans, hypochondriac diseases can be caused by white racism, suppressed feelings about slavery, and or a melanin deficiency. The mind reacts first to any disease and may be nutritionally, culturally, and spiritually deprived, which can cause a physical disease. It is suggested that tryptophan, melatonin supplement, herbal combinations of ginkgo, gotu kola, echinacea, saw palmetto, or fresh tropical fruits and vegetables be eaten in order to increase the melanin supply needed to protect the African mind, body, and spirit. A whitewashed African mind can physically handicap the body. A mind-created physical disease can cripple an individual and limit the use of ma'at. For example, the miracle cures of people by faith healers were verified to be true. The invalids, crippled, blind, deaf, and handicapped were given complete physical examinations before going to the faith healer. The examinations indicated that the handicapped people did not have anatomical, biochemical, or organic causes for being handicapped. An organic cause for being handicapped could be a permanently destroyed bone, muscle, or organ caused by injury, birth defect, or spiritual damage. In other words, the physical diseases were in the mind. The handicapped persons told themselves they were handicapped and made their bodies become fixed in a diseased posture or state. In many cases, the superstitious medical community told the person they were handicapped and used science, gossip, drugs, and social science to attach the mind to a psychosomatic illness. The handicapped are often the Caucasians, psychosomatic zombies created by them in order to sustain the drug companies and help create and perpetuate fear of bacteriophobias. The handicapped generate profit for research institutions. The handicapped are psychosomatic sacrifices for medical business profits. A handicapped individual, after a physical examination, attended a faith healing or divining session held at a church in a tent or sports arena and was cured in front of witnesses. The faith healer told the handicapped they could walk or see, and the handicapped accepted this truth,
reprogrammed their minds and used belief to cure themselves. This point suggestion cured the mind, and that in turn cured the body of the handicap. A changed mind changed their physical impairment. Oddly enough, Africans have not only Caucasian psychosomatic illness, but ethnomedical illness, which causes them to be handicapped. Africans who tell themselves they are healthy can be handicapped. If African use Caucasian health standards to determine health, they are diseased. They tell their body and mind that the nutritional deficiencies caused by a healthy Caucasian standard are normal. The African believes the constant physically weakened health condition and nutrient deficient brain is normal and will not seek African medical advice or natural foods. The Caucasian junk medicine, junk culture, and junk religions cement the African psychosomatic disease. Any African who is not perpetually attempting to destroy white culture is psychosomatically ill, handicapped. This nutritionally handicapped African mind is fixed in the Caucasian propaganda that says that Africans who employ divining are practicing witchcraft, black magic, or some evil. The handicapped African, in partnership with Caucasians, helps to create the divine mess by separating the African's spirit from the divining abilities. The obstruction of divining, African culture, ethnomedicine, and Afrocentric thought is at the speed of Caucasian computers. The 12 years of white racist miseducation in Eurocentric schools slows the African's pace. Today, the computerized fast-paced of brainwashing is escalated and destroys Africans' divining ability with Caucasoid linear thought in computer programs, games, and freak foods. The only defense an African has is natural foods, herbal medicine, and divining. Africans who eat anything on a dinner plate that looks like food, smells like food, and does not talk back, move, attempt to attack him, call him a nigger, or kill him immediately upon putting it in his mouth are sacrificing their divine kinship to Africa and ancestors. The Caucasian cloned vegetables and fruits have been created with human cells, pig cells, insect cells, rat cells, drugs, pus, nuclear mutated cells, bacteria, diseased cells, and electromagnetically perverted cells that are usually grown on petroleum waste without soil. These freak vegetables and fruits are causing new mutated spliced genetic diseases of the body, mind, and spirit. The genes from diseased animals, insects, or humans are combined with separate species or within each other's gene pool to create transgenetic eatable plant freaks. These freaks are technically classified as food additives because they are added to a plant. However, the dysfunctional Caucasian avoids their own laws by considering these freaks as natural plants because they grow similarly to plants. Actually, these freak plants are cloned animals trapped in a plant's body. They are lowest in nutritional value, pollute the soil, water, and air, and alter the human body, mind, and spirit. They make divining a nutritional impossibility for those Africans who eat the freaks. Genetic altering of vegetables, fruits, beef, pork, milk, poultry, and seafood is estimated to be the largest increase in the food industry's profits since frozen foods in 1930. The tobacco industry is now massively invested in both biotechs. For example, tobacco plus tomato gene splicing has created frost-resistant tomato plants. The same cancer-causing potential exists in the combination of tobacco-tomato plant as the toxic cooked oil from the tobacco plant. Some other freaks available to consumers are chicken-potato animals, which increases potato immunity. Insect-potato plant resists bruises in processing. Human-pig cell animals. This swine has leaner meat. The market is unlimited as human sperm and egg cell splicing plus human brain and animal brain splicing with other plants and humans has generated another market for the pharmaceutical businesses. Some businesses already involved in this transgenetic are the National Institutes of Mental Health, U.S. Military, Campbell's Soup, Upjohn, Pepsi Cola, Calgene, Heinz, Frito-Lay, Dole, DuPont, Hunt Wesson, Shell Oil, Garden and Household Plants, Pets, Animal Feed Industries, and the Cosmetic Industry. These businesses do not have any legal obligation to label their animal plants as freaks. Therefore, an African who is eating freaks will sooner or later become a freak with no divining, conjuring abilities, or spiritual energy. It is now or never. Either Africans eat natural foods and start divining and use Ma'at, or become a divine mess. Chapter 4, Craziness. Not only must we teach black people how to use food nutritionally, but we must teach them to do it within the context of their own culture. Dr. Alvinia Fulton.
Gang warfare. The Caucasian race has a deep sense of inferiority. This is mixed with superstitions, phobic reactions, two phobias, self-hatred, and fear that crippled their brains. It causes them to distort the thoughts that come to and leave their brains. Their moods, feelings, logic, behavior, and socialization with other races is an acting out of that phobic mindset. Caucasian civilization is built on a foundation of dysfunctional families that form loosely united gangs. They have massive gangs that attack the ecology of the earth with pollution. Their gangs attack African people with nutricide and genocide. Once they have made a conquest, then they begin to fight each other. A deep sense of insecurity about safety, victory, sex, nature, God, and themselves causes them to attack each other in a gang-like manner. They call their gangs governments, ethnic groups, alliances, religions, the United Nations, public schools, hospitals, drug companies, the Food and Drug Administration, Congress, the military and criminal justice system, the Department of Health and Education and Welfare, banks, corporations, the stock market, social clubs, police, food companies, entertainment, media, computers, companies, etc. Their gangs attack African countries or African peoples, and through pretend information make the world and themselves believe that the attacks are for money or power. The attacks gain security from their own minds and the disease of their inner self. The largest Caucasian gangs are a collection of clans which they choose to call a civilization. They are a neurotic, diseased group from an ice age climate filled with aggression, war, violence, and the disease of melanin albinism. Their collective behavior is a reflective or mirror of melanin deficient diseased minds. The Caucasian mind that controls the junk food and medical companies is a mind that is aggressive, violent, and at war with itself. In order to remedy the problems of the health field, the problems of the Caucasian mind have to be solved. White supremacy and white racism are merely a psychological shield that protects a deeply infested psychological disease. The Caucasian civilizations and melanin albinism that shape their inner psychosis is different from white racism. Once the white racism, white supremacy was established, it functioned as a separate disease state with its own set of psychotic structures. Teaching Caucasians that they are white supremacists has no curative psychological effect on them. It is the same as teaching a drunk person about being sober. They are too drunk to understand. So it follows that teaching Caucasians that their junk food and junk medicine is destructive to Africans will not help the Caucasians become less racist. It is obvious that their degenerative food causes degenerative diseases. For example, the mucus forming bleached white flour, white sugar, cow's milk, grease, synthetic chemical additives, and salt create a liquid slime called plaque. This consequently accumulates and collects in the veins, muscles, nerves, brains, and arteries. This eventually blocks the functioning or stops the functioning of any organ that has veins, arteries, nerves, muscles, or melanin. The effect of the liquid manure in the body is called disease. If the Caucasian junk foods, chemicals, and medicines cause the heart to be injured or stop, it is called heart disease. If it constipates the brain, it is called senility. Learning disorders, mood swings, or depression. If the gooey, pus-like slime collects in the eyes, it is called cataracts or glaucoma. If it is in the reproductive system, it is called fibroid tumors, prostate cancer, or sterility. However, the disease began in the diseased mind of the Caucasian and is reflected in the diseased foods, cooked foods, synthetic chemicals, and poisonous medicines that they force upon Africans. Treating or trying to change the white supremacy that masks their inner disease has no effect upon their obsessive compulsive craziness. The obsessive neurosis of a normal person is quite different from the obsessive compulsive craziness of a crazy person. The Caucasian obsessive compulsive mind tells them to think the way they think because they must think the way they think in order to think. If this sounds crazy, it is crazy. The Caucasian mind gets pleasure from thinking the way it thinks, and the pleasure it gets is also a craziness which is called narcissistic. Caucasians get pleasure from thinking they are superior and pain from knowing they are not superior. Theirs is a mind in conflict and at violent war with itself. It is their nature. Caucasians live within the contradiction of their minds. White supremacy is merely a reflection of that conflict. It is the mind that lives within Caucasian people that must fantasize reality. There are approximately 5 billion people in the world, 4 billion are colored, and 900 million are Caucasian. And the majority of the colored people are African or mixed Africans. In less than 2,000 years, Caucasians have murdered at least 200 million Africans and at least 50 million natives in India, in the Americas, Australia, Caribbean. The Caucasian collective mind has not faced the reality of their mass murders or subhuman barbaric behavior. Their mind is constantly on trial and declares itself guilty and innocent. At the same time, the Caucasian food thugs have murdered millions of Africans with diabetes, heart attacks, hypertension, high blood pressure, cancer, tuberculosis. Added to this neutral side is the murder of Africans with syphilis, AIDS, sickle cell, anemia, prescription, and illegal drugs. Further, there is a Caucasian mutilation of Africans with surgery, drugs, vaccinations, and inoculations. For example, the German measles, rubella causes arthritis, flu shots cause paralysis, measles causes the nerves to be damaged and burn the brain, whooping cough vaccine causes convulsions, fevers, and brain problems, insulin use leads to blindness, tetracycline use causes bone problems, antibiotics weaken the immune system, and birth control pills cause cancer and other maladies. It is quite obvious that Caucasian food gangs, medical gangs, and drug gangs are killing themselves and killing Africans. The deaths are blamed on the obsession with money. Money is supposed to bring security. However, the Caucasian mind is insecure and compulsively wants more security. Thus, they are obsessive, compulsive, crazy people. A mind in conflict with itself never finds security. Security craves security to satisfy the need for security in order to be secure from a mind that is insecure. Each gang is in conflict within itself, which means it is mentally and morally corrupt. For example, the Food and Drug Administration allows unsafe drugs to be used and is asked to police the drug companies. Drug companies test drugs which are unscientific, questionable, they use wrong dosage, and forge test results. The Center for Disease Control's research indicated that 80% of laboratory test results are questionable or wrong, and 20% could be loosely considered correct. The American Hospital Certifying Agency approved hospitals as safe for their sick, while the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare declared that 66% of hospitals are unsafe for sick people. They demanded that the dangerous hospitals be closed. However, the certifying agency let them remain open. The United States Surgeon General's Nutrition and Health Research declared that junk food causes disease. The Food and Drug Administration allows junk food companies to continue to manufacture and sell harmful junk foods. It is obvious if one corrupt gang is used to correct another corrupt gang, problems are not corrected. Each gang merely mirrors the mental diseases of the Caucasians. Sell out genetic racism. The Caucasian biological and chemical rituals and ceremonies that they call science are diseased with white racism. Their scientifically normal standards for all human races are based on Caucasian biochemistry. What little science they do use is stolen from Africa and called a Caucasian discovery. Hippocrates, the father of Caucasian medicine, stole from the African textbook called the Carlsberg Papyrus. Other thieves, such as Galen, Theophrastus, and Discordes, wrote and quoted the medical prescriptions from the Temple of Imhotep and the African textbook Papyrus of Moscow. Their Caucasian founder of nursing, Florence Nightingale, did not contribute to the nursing field. Actually, an African lady born in Jamaica named Mary Seacole is the founder of that field. In 1852, Mary Seacole was instrumental in saving residents of Central America from a cholera outbreak. Mary Seacole helped stop the 1853 yellow fever outbreak in Jamaica. In 1854, during the Crimean War that England, France, and Turkey fought against Russia, the War Department of England used Mary Seacole's healing ability to save soldiers' lives on the battlefield. Florence Nightingale was present at the battle, but too sick to work. Nightingale was of some help to Caucasian soldiers. At the same time, she was infecting soldiers with syphilis. She eventually died of syphilis. The Caucasian so-called scientists have recorded the behavior of thieves, liars, acts of unprovoked violence, murder, and disease warfare against Africans. This is historical criminal behavior combined with their contemporary behavior of stealing wealth and knowledge from Africa, stealing human beings, global war against Africans, rape of African women, boys, and girls, destruction of African libraries, art, buildings, and culture compounded by their mental illness of white racism. Their mental and physical behaviors indicate that they have a hereditary genetic disease. The Caucasians have available to them the information that they can obtain from the Africans' human cells. In fact, they now have patents on the cells in the human body. Their copyrights have to be honored and money paid to scientists with human cell patents before a scientific laboratory can use the individual cells to help diagnose illness. Genetic discrimination based upon disease history is available with no way to keep it private. An individual African parent may not have the criminal mental or physical trait or characteristic, but since it is in an African's genetic cell pool, it allows Caucasians to use that information to genetically identify criminals and racistly discriminate against Africans. This is genetic racism. In other words, Caucasians can hate the very cells in an African's body because the cells are melanated. Africans can be labeled genetically violent and discriminated against. Genetic engineers can change Africans' cells by using deactivated viruses as carriers of Caucasian characteristics that they want in the African mind, spirit, and body. In this way, Africans will become the types of person the Caucasians want them to be. Aside from this, the mental, emotional, spiritual, and behavioral reaction of genetically altered African children is chemical cannibalism. Genetic drugs are the new weapons available to white supremacists to use in their attempts to continuously dominate Africans. Dr. Leroy Hood, a geneticist at the California Institute of Technology, claims that the genetic revolution will change Caucasian medicine. In fact, it was reported in Reader's Digest, Volume 139, Number 833, September 1991, that the National Institutes of Health has already done genetic transfusions at their clinical center. Is obvious from the Caucasians' behavior that they do not see themselves as mentally ill and that they are going to always see Africans as inferior and servants for white supremacy. Caucasians, through the use of genetics, can take your genetic cells out of your body and place their programmed cells into your body. Your Afrocentric melanated genetic cells will be replaced by Eurocentric cells. Africans will be Caucasians inside their bodies with black skin. The African world community will eventually be programmed community of cloned servants in search of a white master. It will be a cell out of Afrocentric civilization. Mental illness is entertaining. Mental illness is when the mind can no longer move from one thought to another freely. The mind gets stuck in a thought process or on a thought. A mind holding on to a thought when it is against the health and well-being of self or of others is sick. In Caucasian civilization, a mentally ill person is anyone who is against his or her way of life. While in African civilization, an individual who is imbalanced in thinking or uses the left side of the brain too much is considered mentally ill. Consequently, an African person too left-minded would be told they were not in their right mind. Afrocentrically, we have to be aware of the subtle mental illness within the Caucasian society. In this way, Africans will not be infected by it. It is Caucasian mental illness that leads a child to think that violence can be solved by violence. It is Caucasian mental illness that seeks the solution to immunity system failures with immunity depressants. Any disease is a failure of the immune system to protect health. In any case, Caucasians believe that immune failures can be corrected by immune suppressive drugs. For example, the Food and Drug Administration in 1991 approved the use of treating bladder cancer by giving the sick person an infection. The germ Mycobacterium bovis, which is found in abundance in tuberculosis disease, is given to people with bladder tumors. This does not get rid of the cause of the disease, nor does it change the disease-producing diet. This may seem like an unrelated point, or it may appear unrelated to mental illness as a form of entertainment, but it is part of the same mental illness. This type of distortion that treats an illness with an illness is part of the foundation of their mental illness. The acceptance of this concept allows the mind to be conditioned to accept mentally ill ideas as pure science when it is the disease of mental illness. If mental illness is accepted as science, then it becomes easy to accept mental illness as entertainment. Caucasian cliches help to support mental illness as entertainment or science. For example, a cliche such as money is the root of evil is a mentally ill concept. African money, Chinese money, Native American money, etc. was never the root of evil, nor did it cause evil among them. It is Caucasians who are evil, and they use money to support their mental illness. Money is not a living thing that can cause or create good or evil. However, the Caucasian diseased mind believes that they are not evil, but their money is evil. This is thinking psychotically and further supports mental illness as entertainment. Caucasians block out, hide, shut off, and cover up feelings about true reality. The Caucasians feel they are inferior to the supremacy of African civilization, and this hidden emotion causes feelings of anger, violence, paranoia, murder, fear, love, pleasure, anxiety, sex, and excitement. Within this mental illness is the inability to separate feelings. All feelings are the same or may not be felt at all. Consequently, feelings of love are mixed with violence in their minds and in their movies, children's fairy tales, videos, computer games, and religions. The inferiority reflex causes Caucasians to block out feelings without understanding why. Caucasians feel a need to be in control that is the same as the cravings felt by drug addicts, food addicts, sex or violence addicts. However, these feelings are not understood or labeled correctly. These feelings can result in crisis behavior, which is a need to create events or an issue or war or violence in order to stay in control. It is an outgrowth of self-centeredness instead of African family-centeredness. In Caucasian self-centeredness, everything is either for or against them. There is a lack of understanding of where their rights end and African rights begin. African human rights cannot be understood by Caucasians. Caucasians use linear communication, confusion between truth and lies, and act on their paranoia. Paranoids act on their assumptions, while sane people check out assumptions before acting. Direct communication would require honesty and an acceptance of their crimes. Caucasians believe their civilization to be highly developed, so there is no need for them to consider their rights of other civilizations or African people. Anything outside Caucasian superiority does not exist. Since Caucasians are the only scientists who know and understand everything, there is no need to remember that Africans founded and perfected all sciences. If it were true that the Caucasians are the supreme race, then other cultures are irrelevant because Caucasians' collective mental illness and mythology verify that they are the most evolved, powerful, and developed race. They think that gadgets, such as machines or computers, indicate superiority in a civilization. However, it is the ability to get along with self, others, nature, and God that determines superiority. If Caucasians are responsible for what has happened in their civilization and what they have done to Africa and Africans, then they must be blamed for their destructive mentality, and everything that has kept them inferior is totally their fault. They are inferior because of the murderous and destructive actions that they have committed and continue to commit against Africans, natives of the North and South America, and of Australia, the Caribbean, etc. Despite this, they believe that their superiority has happened because they made it happen without massive murders, rape, slavery, and stealing of information and land. Caucasians believe their superiority requires them to be in control. It is also believed that they have always been in control. Therefore, everything is just and honorable that they have done to be in control. At one time in history, they called the slaughter of Africans a part of Caucasian manifest destiny. Manifest destiny is merely a pleasant term for mental illness. Manifest destiny, a slogan, when translated, means Caucasian control. There is doubt that communication can harmonize or unite the African and Caucasian races because white supremacists do not see other races or cultures, and especially African, as equal or superior. There is no line that marks a separation between Caucasian inferiority and Caucasian imagined superiority. This is caused because Caucasians do not perceive African human rights as God-given. They see African rights as something that is granted by violence. The Caucasian linear communicates within themselves and to themselves. It must be noted that Caucasians speak to themselves with double talk or a forked tongue. Caucasians lack respect for African cultural boundaries. In other words, they see everything superior about African culture as Caucasian, and within their mental illness, everything and everyone becomes a possession. They imagine themselves to be the center of the world. They constantly describe social activities and even entertainment in terms of their mental illness and value structure. The center of Caucasian entertainment is violence, murder, sex, and mental illness. The absence of this type of entertainment is called boredom. The definition of entertainment starts with the African baby and is nurtured and taught from childhood to adulthood. Consequently, the African spends his life escaping boredom by using drugs, sex, food, sex, dancing, changing jobs, divorces, watching movies, television viewing, physical exercise to build muscles, gossip talking or listening to gossip talk shows, going to parties, dropping out of school, shopping, spending money, or taking trips. It is Caucasian boredom and Caucasian entertainment that consumes African children and adult lives. Entertainment in the Caucasian world is mixed with violence, murder, mental illness, sex, and self-centeredness. Afrocentrically, the purpose of entering the inner attainment is designed to uplift the body, mind, and spirit. The purpose of boredom For the holy place is to reach the spiritual kingdom. Boredom is not negative. Boredom occurs when an activity or thought has fulfilled itself and causes you to pass through the human limits to the spiritual unlimited. Boredom is a quiet or silent part of yourself in which the melanin speaks to you and through you. In melanin-deficient Caucasians, there is not enough ancestral or spiritual or electromagnetic energy to vibrate their brains, so boredom is something they must avoid or replace with violence, sex, or mental illness. Mental illness is mixed with violence, sex, and fantasy. Caucasians and the Africans who follow them participate in more fantasy than their children's fantasy world of cartoons, videos, computer games, movies, and television. Adult Caucasians consume more make-believe fantasy stories, use more games, use more recreational legal and illegal drugs to help make mental fantasy, have recreational sex, which is 90% fantasy, and live a life where they fantasize Caucasian civilization as superior and Africa and African people as inferior. Fantasy is entertainment, and entertainment is a mixture of mental illness and fantasy. The fantasy is so concrete in the Caucasian mind that it is real and no longer considered a mental illness. Like concrete, it is a thoroughly mixed and cemented in craziness. It is mental illness to eat a diet that causes disease, then eat the same diet while in the hospital in order to cure the disease. The central focus of the fantasy is the good guy versus bad guy themes. The bad guy is anyone who opposes or is fighting against the good Caucasian or good Caucasian civilization. The person fighting against the good Caucasian is labeled in some way mentally ill, a sex pervert, a savage, bloodthirsty, insane, seeking revenge, is power hungry, lives in an imaginary world, has unreal fears, wants to destroy the world, and is never a person who has a legitimate right to oppose the good Caucasian. Usually the fantasy type movie, videos, book, cartoon, television show, or dramatic play devotes the major part of time to justify why the Caucasian good guy should exterminate the person who opposes him. This helps to reinforce the Caucasian myth about themselves and to sustain the entertainment fantasy that is mental illness. The African parents' choice for their children is to teach the child to be spiritual, to use trances, to sense the spirit presence of ancestors, and to find joy in the spirit world of God. African people who choose the Caucasian entertainment of toys, violence, sex, and mental disease will affirm in the African child that you would have to be mentally ill if you think about or are about opposing Caucasian white supremacy. The issue remains that either African people are being entertained or are being made mentally ill. It is a subtle type of mental disease when you find mental illness entertaining. The mentally ill person is used to entertain the audience's attention during news programs. A mentally ill person who may have committed a crime is viewed as evil but never mentally ill. News programs constantly pick a crime such as murder, rape, brutality, illegal businessmen, robbery, assault, and battery as evil, when in actuality they are activities of the mentally ill. Consequently, mental illness is viewed as evil and a crime. Caucasians believe all crimes must be punished, not psychologically treated. The African child never sees the massive mental illness of Caucasian civilization because mental illness is not clearly stated as mental illness, but as a crime. A criminal is anyone fighting against the Caucasian will. An African child raised on this Caucasian logic in fantasy or news programs will be programmed to think criminals are sane and perverted instead of mentally ill. They will not see the so-called normal-thinking Caucasian as a specimen of craziness. An African child will grow up to be an adult who mixes and confuses entertainment and mental illness as the same. The African child will not conceive or believe that it is normal for Africans to fight the mentally ill Caucasian race unless they themselves are crazy.
Epidemics, lies, and diseases for money. Epidemics are the sudden spread of diseases that affect many people at the same time in a particular area. These diseases are usually considered contagious. However, the vast majority of these epidemics are usually created by the Caucasian diet or vaccinations, inoculations. The vaccination inoculation business combined with the medical business makes profits from these diseases that the food business causes. And of course, the food business makes profits selling the junk food to Africans. Vaccinations, inoculations, synthetic medicines, and junk foods cause the disease epidemics. None of these Caucasian businesses will take the responsibility for the epidemics, mutilation, and human sacrifices that they've caused. The African consumer is led to believe that diseases are a natural way of life. It is a natural way of life for Caucasians, but nutricidal for Africans. Epidemiology is another myth and fable of Caucasian science that does not have repeatable scientific proofs to document its findings. In other words, it is quackery. John Gravant founded the entire science of epidemiology in 1662. He had an herb and spirits business and published the Europeans' first book on the subject, Natural and Political Observations Made Upon the Bills of Morality. He wrote that more white men died than white women, and that one-third of the white children die before they reach the age of 5. This field has been called unscientific and fictitious by Caucasian authorities in the field. It has been criticized by epidemiologists such as Alvin R. Finstein, professor of medicine and epidemiology at Yale University School of Medicine in 1901, and in the 1980 presidential address to the American Heart Association's 53rd scientific session by the ex-president of the American Heart Association, and Thomas N. James, M.D., Kurt A. Oster, M.D., in November 1975, wrote an article, "The Decline of Common Sense and the Ascent of Computerized Nonsense in Medicine." This article scientifically pointed out the stupidity of the science and its vast errors. Epidemiology uses insurance companies' myth of disease risk factors. Currently, a Caucasian risk factor has many meanings. The risk factor idea has not caused an improvement in heart disease care. Aside from this, a risk factor differs from one report to another. Further, insurance companies use mathematical statistical reports that cannot be applied to human life. This statistical data cannot be applied to observations on African people's natural diet without a measure of melanin levels and spiritual science. Epidemiology uses data from public records, which they put through complex mathematical manipulation. For example, from the advice of insurance companies, epidemiology concluded that risk factors such as smoking, heavy alcohol drinking, obesity, disease history of parents with a diet high in saturated fat and cholesterol caused heart disease. This advice was given to the public without scientific proof. It was never reported to the public that this advice was merely a mathematical deduction and that this Caucasian advice may or may not be of any help or could actually cause disease, or that a change of diet, lower in fat and cholesterol, would be of little help or no help at all. Further, it was not advised that within 6 months of a lowered cholesterol diet, the body rebounds to its high cholesterol level. Additionally, it was not advised that people with type A blood usually have a higher cholesterol level. It was not advised that African people tend to have low cholesterol levels. Ironically, the use of Caucasian standards to judge disease in Africans can result in Africans being considered as having a normal cholesterol level when in actuality they are sick. The African undiagnosed sickness progress further before the Caucasian standard recognizes a disease. African people have to be on mental alert and must be constantly aware of the source of advice. If the advice is given by a doctor, scientist, an actor, athlete, medical organization, insurance company, or the food business, it is still advice. Advice is simply a non-scientific opinion. Aside from this, medical groups change their advice from year to year. In 1950, the normal serum cholesterol was arbitrarily set at 150 milligrams. Then it was changed to 300 milligrams. Then in 1980, the American Heart Association gave advice that the cholesterol level should be 220 milligrams. Caucasian science does not take into account the cyclic laws of nutrients, hormones, organs, or the human body. In the African science, the daily cyclic nature of cholesterol's monthly and yearly cycles would be a factor. The specific cyclic levels are different for men and women. In the African rites of passage, each dietary cyclic change was taught to the individual. Highly melanated Africans have sensitive and responsive rhythms. Caucasians with melanin albinism are not cyclic oriented, and their science ignores these factors. Caucasian epidemiology relies on advice, mathematical opinions, and scientific quackery. Thus, this field is another tool used in the nutricide of African people. Facts about health. Africans can see the lies and misconception about Caucasian health and medicine by looking at the facts. Fact number one, America's worst drug takers are probably physicians. According to a series of articles appearing in the New York Times in mid-1975, the percentage of physicians on hard drugs was about 19 times greater than the number of people among the general population addicted to the same drugs. Fact number two, numerous surveys, tests, and health evaluation programs have consistently revealed that America's medical professionals are no healthier than the average American is. Fact number three, compared to the general population, 23% more American physicians, including heart specialists, die of heart and cardiovascular problems. Cancer deaths among physicians are 12% higher than among the general population. Fact four, whenever doctors strike throughout the world, the same result occurs. The mortality rate drops. The first strike was in Saskatchewan, Canada, in the late 60s. The second was in Los Angeles, where, according to Professor Milton Romer of UCLA's School of Public Health, the mortality rate during that strike dropped by 17%. The third strike was in Columbia, South America, where the mortality rate dropped by 37%. The fourth and my favorite strike was in Israel, when, during an 85-day strike, the morality rate dropped by 50%. This greatly concerned the morticians who did a study of their own. They discovered the last time the morality rate dropped that low was 20 years previously at the time of the last doctor strike. Fact number 5, annual physical examination procedures and tests are a health risk. Fact number 6, hospitals are dangerous places for the sick. Fact number 7, most operations do little good and many do harm. Fact 8, medical testing labs are reports and scientifically inaccurate. Fact number 9, many drugs cause more problems that they cure. Fact 10, the x-ray machine is the most pervasive and the most dangerous tool in the doctor's office. Fact 11, over $900 billion was spent on so-called health care in America in 1992. Fact number 12, over 125 million Americans have one or more chronic disease condition. Fact 13, only 1.5% of Americans are regarded as healthy by the U.S. Public Health Service, less than 4 million out of a population of over 250 million. This means that 982% have some type of illness. Fact 14, about 1.5 billion visits are made by patients to physicians, clinics, and emergency rooms every year in the USA. That is about 6 visits per Americans. Fact 15, over 5 million Americans suffer such side effects or adverse reactions from drugs and medicines administered by physicians each year that they need to be hospitalized. Fact 16, 1 in 5 Americans spend some time in hospital for treatment every year. Fact 17, over 50 million Americans suffer from high blood pressure. Fact 18, chances are better than 95% that your arteries are partially blocked by plaque. Almost every American child over 4 years old has arterial plaque formation. Nearly 45% of Americans die from heart disease or cardiovascular problems. Fact 19, 3 out of every 10 Americans get cancer. 80% of these people suffer death attributed to cancer. Over 500,000 Americans will die of cancer this year. Fact 20, cancer is the number one cause of death among our children. Fact 21, over 1 in 3 Americans suffer from some form of allergy. Fact 22, about a third of Americans are obese, yet nearly all Americans are malnourished in some way despite overeating. Fact 23, over 50% of Americans suffer from chronic digestive disorders. Fact 24, some 16 million Americans suffer from ulcers. Fact 25, over 41 million Americans suffer from hemorrhoids. Fact 26, 9 out of 10 Americans suffer from more or less clogged colons. Constipation is a widespread disease. Fact 27, over 10 million Americans suffer from asthma. Fact 28, over 30 million Americans suffer from chronic sinus infections. Fact 29, there are about 15 million diabetics or near diabetics in America. Fact 30, over 10 million Americans have psoriasis, disease, rheumatism, gout, bursitis. Fact 31, over 36 million Americans suffer from arthritis and related diseases, rheumatism, gout, bursitis. Fact 32, one of 5 births in America is defective, about half being brain defects. Fact 33, almost every baby born in America has been polluted before birth by poisons and drugs in mother's bloodstream. Fact 34, over 8 billion American children are mentally retarded or handicapped because of brain problems, possibly caused by poisons and drugs from the mother's bloodstream and the effect of radiation and the polluted air, water, soil vaccines upon their system. Fact 35, the fourth leading cause of death is misdiagnosis, prescription, and medical errors. Fact 36, the average age of death of doctors is 58. Dissent in Medicine, 9 Doctors Speak Out by Robert S. Mendelsohn, M.D., Confession of a Medical Heretic by Robert S. Mendelsohn. Fact 37, due to weakened immunity caused by toxic foods and environment, people 25 years old and younger can die from mild diseases such as asthma.
Context of white supremacy. Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, Grandcester. Reading is more important than watching television. I forgot how many times she said it, but it was a bunch. Dozens. Dozens. Man, oh man, I would rather be watching anything on Netflix than reading this book. Like, we can do Random Drop, I don't care, Tiger King, Break Into, Electric Boogaloo, Marvel's Black Panther, my favorite, Get Out, anything by Keenan Peele, my favorite. I don't care. General Hospital, that I know what the Kawasaki disease is. Anything on Netflix would be better than reading this. Worst book ever. Pam is off the hook now. Miss Pamela Evans-Harris. But she is off the hook now. Black Love, Revolutionary Act. Formerly, worst book I ever read. New worst book I ever read. Solidified. Woo! Nutritional Destruction of Black People. I'm going to make sure I point that out again. This book does have a lot of different titles. If you go there, like lots of different editions, that stands out as well. Like Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, she does not have like 8 different editions of the ISIS papers, where one is the ISIS papers, and then the next time around it's white genetic annihilation and global white supremacy, and then the next time around it's, she doesn't have that, you know. Title keeps switching and that sort of thing. Mr. Fuller, you know, changed something, and you are allowed. That's not against the rules, VGQ. I'm just pointing out there's something to be said for clarity, editing, detail, things being well written, ideas, even if you have accurate information, it being presented in a way that is easy to comprehend and allows your reader to appreciate and apply what you have shared in a practical manner. That is important. Dr. Welsing, I think, accomplished that. Bam! Didn't have to have 50 different, you know, editions and change this and switch that around and add this. I think she has had a few printings, but it has not been like the title changed and this and, you know, consistency. Clear presentation of ideas. Anyway, the number to dial is 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I do just want to take one second. Our listener, investor, I read half of his commentary from last week because we didn't actually get to the divine mess section, or we didn't get far enough in it for me to read his commentary, so I can finish that now. But the one thing I will say for anyone, if we have newer listeners or folks, you know, maybe you've been listening to the book club or you sporadically listen to the book club, reading is more important than watching television, just not reading this book. We have had our book club for nearly a decade on the cows. We read Dr. William Pierce, The Turner Diaries. We just talked about that this week when we had Dr. Simi on the program. I didn't think that book was as bad as this. That also is not, you know, a great book, but I mean, wow, that was an interesting read. 2011, if memory serves. But we've read Lothrop Stoddard, Rising Tide of White World Supremacy. We read that. I didn't think that was, you know, this. I mean, we have read some bad books. The Hate U Give, I didn't even think was as bad as this. Like, I loathe this book. Like, it's painful for me to go from paragraph to paragraph, and I'm just pointing out, like, we've read a lot of books. There is no time in the history of the Cows Book Club where I have talked as poorly and felt as repulsed by a book that we've read. I think only Wretched of the Earth is kind of close. Kind of. Black Love is a revolutionary act, but I mean, I do not remember feeling repulsed by each page of Black Love is a Revolutionary Act. Like, I really did not want to read Wretched of the Earth either by Frantz Fanon. That's a cowbell. I didn't want to read that either, but like, woof. This is what they call it, force feed, you know, when they torture you, cruel and unusual punishment. Yeah, that's, you know. All right, so our listener wrote in. A divine mess section. The text states the miracle cures of people of faith healers were verified to be true. I found this section interesting. I generally considered what are referred to as faith healers as charlatans for the most part. I would have found it valuable if a reference regarding said verification was provided. Again, he does include in the foreword of the text why he does not include references, although he does slip a few in here and there. Continuing, thus far, Dr. Africa seems to find no value in Caucasian science by comparison. Oh, look at that, the grandsister. Dr. Wellsen, your name, Dr. Wellsen, the genius. By comparison, I think Dr. Wellsing was logically suspicious, questioning of Caucasian science medicine, but was still an advocate for many of the practices. In addition, she seemed to be able to strike a balance between her beliefs in Caucasian science and spirituality. For example, she recommended victims being open to receiving signs from the Creator universe. She absolutely did. Much obliged. In fact, one of the most striking lines in the text of the ISIS papers, and I'm so bummed that I never asked her, she says it is our cosmic assignment, our cosmic duty, COSMIC, cosmic duty, to replace white supremacy with justice. Wow. The cosmos is huge. That's what we're supposed to be. Anyway, Dr. Wellsing, I agree. Comparison, contrast. That's what you encourage sometimes when you do reading. You look at different authors' texts that you've read, especially if they're on the same subject matter, and you compare. Anywho, so we'll hit the phone line, see if folks have any comments to share. Whew, man, not enjoying this book. Whew. Was bragging. I got my Vitamix today. Like, man, I could be playing, making recipes. I had a smoothie. I was looking at that. I got my recipe book right there. Raw, like, right. I was right there with the raw. Let me tell you what I had in my smoothie this morning. That's another. We had Dr. Ruby Lathan on the program. When she was here, people called in. She's been on the program a bunch of times, but from the very first time, people went, listened to her, checked out the website, and bam, they had, oh, I got this meal, and I got this meal, and I got this snack, and I stopped eating this, and boom, boom, boom. They went down. They had practical application for what she had to say. I did, too. I started taking a whole food supplement. I got it on my counter right there, my vitamin D, all of the B6 family vitamins, bam, right there, in addition to eating plant-based diet. But what was in my smoothie today? I had organic oat milk. He did talk about that. I agree. No freaky foods. So I had organic oat milk, organic spinach, organic carrots, organic raw hemp seeds. He talked about hemp seeds specifically. Organic beets, red, not golden this time. What else did I have? Organic strawberries. They were amazing. Organic blueberries. Organic banana, organic orange with the peel, more nutrients in the peel than the fruit, a little bit of organic peanut butter, a hefty amount of organic ginger, and a half an organic pear. Oh, I forgot my apple. I can't believe that. I forgot my apple. That'll be in there tomorrow. But that was what I had in my smoothie today. Whew. Wow. It was amazing. And it was super thick. I freeze my bananas and my pears and my blueberries and my strawberries. So you don't have to put ice in. You can just boop, do that. So when the summertime comes. But it was amazing. Just raw. Think that's one thing, at least we can, great way to get, if you know, are trying to adjust and get more fruits and vegetables, bam, smoothie is an awesome way to transition. Dr. Lathan talked about that. You can sneak those vegetables in there. It'll be great. It'll be sweet. You don't have to put any extra sweeteners or craziness in it, and you will fit. In fact, that's all I've eaten today was my smoothie. I had my smoothie, had my water. I will eat more later, more fruits and veggies, but whew, Use your blender. Use your juicer. I know some people have that. Use it. It really can help you. There should be no excuse for wasting produce if you get any. If you have a blender, you can always, bam, smoothie, dessert, something easy that will be tasty, delicious, and easy. You can take it on the go. All righty. Folks who dialed in, if you got any construction, and if we have any listeners out there who, hey, man, Gus, I'm tired of you ragging on Dr. Africa's text, you know. I changed my diet up based on what he said on page 196, and or if we have any listeners out there, I was in or am in the African Liberation Army, or any other points that I have raised in the book. You know, I don't think the book is poorly edited. That would be a whopper if anybody out there has come to that conclusion. But, yeah, if you are there, feel free to speak up. Let's see. Red in Ohio and retired firefighter, both should be with us. Feel free.
Hello, may I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. No, I'm not in the African Liberation Army. I think that's what you said. I didn't even really hear or know anything about that, rather, until listening to this book. Heard a different other, like, I guess, attempted counter-racist armies or groups or whatever, just not that one. I was thinking about the editing portion. I don't know. It almost sounds like maybe this is like just a collection of different notes that maybe he was, you know, at one point in time something may have caught his attention, and then, you know, he turned it into, well, you know, maybe just taking a bunch of different notes on one thing, and then, you know, this is a collection of those, you know, just random thoughts or notes or ideas or whatever. Glad that you mentioned the other person's email about comparing and contrasting, because I was thinking about one portion of the book about the reasons, I guess the portion where he's listing a bunch of different reasons, or all I remember is that was numbered, but there was one part when he mentioned how babies are affected in the womb because of the toxins and chemicals in the bloodstream of the mother. And had I not listened to A Terrible Thing to Waste by Harriet A. Washington, I would have been completely, maybe not completely confused, but I would not have had a better comprehension of that mentioning without, you know, him fully elaborating on, you know, how the chemicals could get into the mother's bloodstream, other than just, you know, ingestion of it. So I guess, you know, just that book at least helped to better understand his writing. There was one thing I did agree with, which was the part about the hospitals trying to cure you of a disease that was caused by diet, but then still giving you the same foods that would reinforce the bad diet, which was interesting. And it made me think about when I had to go to the emergency room and had like some type of esophageal issue, and asked the doctor, you know, what should I do? He said, well, you know, just eat a balanced diet. And I'm like, well, what do you classify as a balanced diet? And he was like, you know, just a balanced diet. Just, and I hate redundancy to explain or attempt to explain what somebody is talking about. I forgot the other part that I was going to mention. I think it might have had something to do with a reason. But nothing, again, not too much gotten out of this portion or this segment about Nutricide, or I guess what I thought his definition of Nutricide was. And I'll mute my line. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Much obliged, Red in Ohio. That is a very important point about the hospitals. I'm surprised that, or they probably do. I probably just don't know enough about the hospitals, but they probably do have McDonald's in some of the hospitals. But I remember speaking to Dr. Lathan. She's in the documentary What the Health, and they talk about going to some of the doctors who are treating people for some of the exact things that he mentioned: hypertension, diabetes, high blood pressure, blah, 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 all the rest of it, glaucoma, blah, blah, blah. And some of the white doctors were even saying, yep, put those Cheetos down. Put that, unhand that chicken sandwich. Put that potato chip bag that they were saying the exact same thing. Get those fresh, what was in Gus's smoothie? That, yeah, get you one of those. Ask him if you can get a cup of that smoothie and the recipe. There you go. Use that blender. That'll help get some of those pounds off and help solve some of these problems. And they said the hospital's like, hey, we are trying to get this money. We got operations to do. We got medication to sell. Like, we are not out here trying to make money selling celery. Like, that's, you know, 90 cent a pound. You can get that organic and still eat well. Like, nah, we are not trying to hear that at all. And matter of fact, if you're going to be talking about that, then you're not doing any interviews or talking to anybody. So let's get out of here right now. Like, yeah, so total agreement there. And I'm surprised that they, or I would not be surprised if they had McDonald's in a number of hospitals. The point about the, no, or at least tater tots and Cheetos, maybe. The point about the, maybe this book being a collection of notes, perhaps. That could be. And the same thing that I said before, even if he edited this book 1,000 times, victims guarantee qualified, that's not against the rules for an author to edit a book. Many people do that. It's not against the rules for a victim to publish a book of notes. Many people do. In fact, the ISIS papers is a publication of notes. It's dated as such. You can see over the different years that she authored the different papers or notes, essays. I think that's what they're called, essays, in the ISIS papers. I would just say, yeah, I would just leave it at that. Like, that's a great illustration of publishing essays or notes that come to mind over a period of time and still maintaining a sense of clarity, detail, focus. I don't remember going through the ISIS papers and counting errors and typos either. So, yeah, notes can still be edited and presented clearly. Much obliged, Red in Ohio. Oh, man, and the, yes, Harriet A. Washington. That book I absolutely love. That is another great contrast. Clarity. Detail. Harriet A. Washington, that is an expert on writing with clarity and detail, so you can comprehend powerful, detailed information, because she talked about some of the exact same subject matters and did so in a brilliant manner. 2 times. Medical apartheid, a terrible thing to waste. Wow, it was an enormous, I wish we were reading one of those right now. Like, ugh, how far we have fallen. Retired firefighter, did you have commentary?
Yes, in a reluctant way, because I'm already been consistent at stating things that that I'm hearing that is not really constructive, I guess. That would be the right word to say, from the reading. But the pattern that I see that the book seems to take is that he would talk about some, pretty good, solutions to some immediate problems that proper nutrition could either help solve or solve. But on the other side, it would be inundated with a lot of rhetoric. He would go off on, I guess as a metaphor, he would go off on a tangent about his opinion on background history that's associated with quote unquote African history, And am I correct in the saying that he used the term white supremacy sometimes in the book?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Okay, when someone states that, at the same time, they have to state, it would be logical that, especially if it's a non-white person, states counter-racism logic and tactics. It's just logical to do that. If you're going to talk about white supremacy has to have some sort of effect on people who are not white. Basically, a lot of the things that he was saying on that tangent phrase was something that took place thousands of years ago, and it's not so much about that people today can scientifically engage into as what was stated by those of us who are the readers. That's one of the main things that make the book kind of unfluid. It's confused, and I'm not saying nobody that is reading it is confused, but the book is kind of like, you know, not flowing in a logical manner from that standpoint, in my opinion, based on the patterns that I've noticed by listening to your reading over the past 3 or 4 weeks. And that's what I have to say so far. Thank you.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. Now, you may be falling prey to what he said. You're not in your right mind, people that are being too logical. We talked about that before, so that might be the problem that you have been afflicted with Nutricide. You're not in your
rationality,
right. And you're just too logical, see? So we'll have to keep that in mind as well. That might be my problem, too. So 605-313-5164, the code 564-943, pound. Press *61 if you have comments, questions, certainly if you're affiliated with the African Liberation Army or armies. So before I get to my commentary, I've said for some weeks now that this book is poorly edited, and that has hampered both my reading comprehension and my ability to narrate this book. And because I'm narrating, it stands out all the more because I'm having to read it, I'm having to say it out loud, then I'm having to hear it. We come back on the program, and then I'm reading, you know, I have the book as the audio is playing. So it's like a lot of, like many more times probably than you all. So it really stands out for me. I'm just going to read this one page just, you know, so people, again, do not think that I'm just trying to be some grammar coon and you just want to gripe about punctuation here or there or a typo here or there. And, you know, you don't exactly speak perfect King's English either. You're absolutely right. But when I publish, I had an editor frequently, and generally I try to go back and recheck. When I write or publish reports to make sure that I am being clear, logical, so that people can understand what I am saying. So this is on page 247. Facts about health. So this is fact 4. So fact 4 actually starts on the bottom of 246, and then it goes on to 247. So I'm just going to read the last little sentence at 246, and then we'll be all just on page 247. The second was in Los Angeles, and this is talking about doctor strikes. So the second doctor strike was in Los Angeles, where, according to Professor Milton Romare of UCLA's School of Public Health, and I'm just going to read this the way it is, not changing anything, I'm reading it, all of these, I'm reading them exactly per letter how it's on the page. Professor Milton Romare of UCLA's School of Public Health, the mortality rate during the strike dropped by 17%.
The third strike was in Colombia, South America, where the mortality rate dropped by 37%. The fourth and my favorite strike was in Israel, when during an 85-day strike, the mortality rate dropped by 50%. This greatly concerned the morticians, who did a study of their own. They discovered the last time the mortality rate dropped that low was 20 years previously, at the time of the last doctor's strike. Fact 5. Annual physical examination. Fact 5. Annual physical examinations, procedures, and tests are a health risk. Fact 8, skipping 2, medical testing labs are reports and scientifically inaccurate. Fact 9, many drugs cause more problems than they cure. Fact 13, only 1.5% of Americans are regarded as healthy by the U.S. Public Health Service, less than 4 million out of a population. And even that, I have to go back just so that you can grasp. So it's service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E hyphen less, serviceless, serviceless. One word, it's just hyphenated. So, U.S. Public Health Service, less than 4 million out of a population of over 200 million. This means that 982% have some type of illness. Now, everything I just read is all on page 247, and everything I read is exactly as it's on the page. Now, this is 247. I have been complaining about the editing and typos and grammar and misspellings and all of that for weeks. This is all on page 247. This was a point where I almost stopped and said, now, if you're going to write this wacky book that's full of all this, what I deem a lot of it to be nonsense, if you're going to write all of this, if it's notes, if it's a book, if it's a novel, whatever, and you don't have enough respect for what you wrote to have an editor go through and, oh, wait a minute, this is morality and not mortality. So this is supposed to say where the mortality rate dropped 37%. Okay, we got it. Okay, we'll change it. And you do that several times. Okay, we'll change that up. That could be a big one to mess up. We don't want to, you know, cause problems on that one. We don't want to have a percentage where it's 982% have some type. If you're going to have this type of sloppiness in the book, to me, if you don't have that much regard for how you present your product, I shouldn't have that much regard to read the material. Because, I mean, this is like sloppy, in my opinion. As I said, I've been complaining for weeks. This is not just, oh, man, you know, you messed up a word here or a type. Like, this is like, whoa, I am struggling to read this book because it's so sloppy in terms of the editing. We're not even talking about the Afro-spirituality and all that. Your child doesn't need to wear diapers if they eat raw carrots and spinach. We're just talking about, man, can we get the periods where they're supposed to be? Can you get, if it's mortality, let's have that, not morality. I'm not perfect, but woo, when I write professionally, if I'm going to publish a book, you can believe I'm going to have an editor. And if I had these same standards, I'd be saying the same thing, like, this is really sloppy. All right, so now I'll go back to the beginning with my notes, which I almost don't even really feel like reading. Like, I'd rather be watching Netflix. Like, is The Last Dance still on? Anything. Jordan Peele, does he have a new project? Anything would be better. I do agree about the genetic altering of foods. I talked about that already. Oh, this is such a lame book. I'll pick out a few highlights. It's not even worth my time to go through and pick out everything that I thought was worth mentioning.
I find it more noteworthy now that I think almost all of the people that said they had this book before we began reading it on the program had not read it or had not completed it. I see why. He said adult Caucasians consume more make-believe fantasy stories, talking about TV and such, use more video games and recreational legal drugs than do African people. He had said earlier in the book that black people watch more television, so I was a little confused about that. The illegal drugs and all that, I'm in agreement there. I absolutely think that's true, but I was pretty sure he had said that before. Televisions, video games, that a lot of black people are into all of that, so that seemed a little contradictory, but yeah. Let's see. It's just, it's so much, you know, he says on 239, whew, man, lamest book ever. Since Caucasians are the only scientists who know and understand everything, there's no need to remember that Africans founded and perfected all sciences. Okay. Whatever, I guess he's not talking about Jesse Jackson here. We talked about, you know, when sometimes it does seem like he says Africans and he doesn't mean all of us. And sometimes he does say African-American, so it's seeming like he'd be talking about some dark people that were here a long time ago. I've said for eons that is the most worthless investment of time, in my opinion, in a system of white supremacy. We're just going to sit around and toot our horn about what, you know, some dark people did like thousands of years ago while we continue to get stomped daily right now. Anybody that wants to invest time in that, cool in the gang, leave me out of it, please. Second of all, I would even have quite like if it was perfected, how in the world did we end up in this position? Like, major questions. Like, I don't know. I don't know. They might have done all kinds of, you know, spectacular things, but perfected, if it was perfected, then racists should not have stood a chance. But I could be, you know, just off base with my Afro-spirituality. Caucasoid, I don't know what that means either. He says on 234, flu shots cause paralysis. No footnote, no reference. And this is in the chapter on gang warfare. So the chapter on gang warfare begins on page 231. And so you get to 234, flu shots cause paralysis. Whooping cough causes convulsions. I thought we were talking about white people as a gang. Not to mention we've hopped from that. Flu shots cause paralysis, not flu shots cause 23% paralysis, 10% paralysis, 5% paralysis. Like, really? Does everybody who gets a flu shot become paralyzed? For how long? Temporary? Permanently? Like, come on, man. This is the type of thing where it's like, I would rather be watching Netflix, The Simpsons, Sesame Street, anything. We can turn Netflix at random. Anything. Like, this is absolute. And it's rubbish. It's so offensive. Like, I would have to pause. Like, black people celebrating a book like this. Like, whoa. What exactly do you think is constructive about it? In fact, are you even able to read this book? Because I'm struggling with the typos and such. But, you know, we can get back to that later. What exactly do you think is constructive about this book? Give me a list. Write a book report. Give me, let's beg it back to third grade. Give me a book report about what you think is constructive about this book and how you apply it to your diet, because that's what's on the cover. How does this book help keep you from being a Negro who was at the cemetery because you ate yourself to death? Give me a book report on that for anybody who says it's constructive. Let's see. But no, like, reference. Like, I would have enjoyed checking that out. Like, where's the data on that? And all you got to do, and that's one of those, it's so easy. All you got to do is find one person in the whole cosmos who got a flu shot and was not paralyzed. And let's see.
he does a lot of this. I think it's so tacky and useless. This is why it just could be, I don't know what this is. It's just, he will make these big gargantuan lists, and it seems like it's including information, and then he ends with my favorite word, etc., at the end. It's in the book so many times, I started saying etc. I don't use etc. at all. Like, I've never used that term since, like, third grade. I told you, we got chastised about that. But he'll give these big gargantuan lists in a book with no detail. You come back and you give me flu shots cause paralysis with no detail, no list, no footnote, no nothing. And then you give me some rubbish like this. They call their gangs governments, ethnic groups, alliances, regions, the United Nations, public schools, hospitals, drug companies, the Food and Drug Administration, Congress, the military, the criminal justice system, the Department of Health and Education and Welfare, banks and corporations, the stock market, social clubs, police, food companies, entertainment, media, computers. Really? That's where you're going to give me the detail. Like, we're going to just keep going and keep going. McDonald's, you want to get some more in there? 7-Eleven, Chick-fil-A, the PTA, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to flu shots cause paralysis, nothing. We just move on to the whooping cough. Lamest book I've ever read in my life. Totally agree. And even the points where I agree with, it's totally irrelevant, because I said the main reason it's irrelevant is because I'm reading this book to make sure that I am not a Negro who ate himself to death, and it's so little of that, and it's presented in such a sloppy and incomprehensible manner, and it's, I got to pause on that to get all this Afro-spirituality and unsubstantiated claims and flu shots, and what are we even talking about, man? Did you have an editor for the, nobody read this and said, well, at least let's make sure we get mortality rates and not morality rates. Let's at least make sure we get that for chapter 4. Like, the rest of it is great. Afro-spirituality is awesome. I love it. African Liberation Army, outstanding. I'm a veteran. I got my uniform in the closet right now. Okay, no problem. If such a person exists, I'm cool in the game, but at least it looks like you might have meant mortality rates. Is that what you meant right here? Are you sure? Is it worth any more of my breath? Worth any more of my breath? Let's see. Man. He did a lot of that this week, saying that white people are crazy. Dr. Wells didn't give her another mention. She, on this broadcast specifically, 2012, April, encouraged not using the term crazy to describe individuals classified as white, because if you deliberately, scientifically go about the business of dominating and terrorizing individuals that you classify as not white, and you do this well, efficiently, for as long as you want, that is not crazy. That's doing exactly what you want, and no one can stop you. I'm paraphrasing. She said it more eloquently, but that's the gist of it. It's not crazy. It's not all of this that's being presented. And I am also repulsed, because if I'm reading this book about how not to be a Negro who ate himself to death, I'm not interested in hearing, like, all of these, like, random asides in your psychoanalysis of white people being crazy and ignorant and stupid. Like, can we just get to the food? Can we just get to more information about why we shouldn't eat nightshades and what would be good about us eating hemp seeds, that type of thing, raw fruits? Like, that would be much better than all the asides. That's why I said they're much better books, where you can just get all that. Even books written by black people where they do talk about racism, but you'll get much more comprehensive, more detailed information that you can practically apply to your plate, to your palate, making constructive, healthy changes. This toilet paper, unless you can think of a better use. Recycling, toilet paper, paperweight, firewood. That's where mine's going. I don't know. Not worth reading. Ugh, repulsed that we have to keep going. I guess we don't have to keep going, but I feel like we're, now we've read more than half, like, that I can kind of see the finish line a little bit. I feel like, oh, maybe we can make it, but woo-wee. Ugh, ugh. It's repulsive. Anybody else? Comments that they want to get in? yeah, not. I certainly could add in more, but yeah. Many people use the term white supremacy, but that does not necessarily mean that they are speaking about it in an accurate manner. Anything else? Well, we can move it along to the next segment. We did not read a whole lot of the second segment. I didn't want to read any more of it at all. I challenged myself to keep going and read the all of that about the blood in terms of Caucasians and being about killing and murder. I do agree with that. That's in the section on blood. Oh, wait a minute. We didn't get that far. Whoops. Sorry. We'll save that for next time around. I do agree with Fact 5 about the physical examinations. We had Dr. Daniels on the program. She talked about those being unimportant. In fact, the New York Times had a report where they talked about those being unimportant, getting those annual checkups, that there was no real evidence or anything saying that there was a benefit. Talk about quackery. They didn't really have a reason. Like, if you don't have a problem, if you're not, I think it was over a certain age, but if you're sleeping, you're eating, your weight is healthy and that sort of thing, why are you going to the doctor for these annual checkups? Like, anywho, the hospitals being dangerous, a number of folks have said that. I think they call them iatriatic deaths. I might be mispronouncing. I'm a, you know, victim of racism. But yeah, we talked about that in great detail, and that is one of the high causes of deaths in hospitals, where they, what they call it, errors. They make a mistake. They meant to give you ibuprofen, and they end up giving you like 700 tablets of Ritalin or something to that effect. That sort of thing is rampant. We've talked about that on the program, and having lots of people die. I think that is one of the leading causes. If not, I have to double check again, but that might be the leading cause of deaths in hospitals, where they have made errors and such. When you want to stay out of that, that's why we were reading this book, hoping we could get information and details to help us stay out of the hospital, but it has been sorely lacking. Anything else I need to get in? Hearing about black people, I mean white people, not having enough electromagnetic energy to vibrate their brains. I have no idea how that benefits you if you are on the plantation and you are being lashed, starved, raped, sodomized, sold, whatever it is. You are melanin deprived and your brain doesn't have the appropriate electromagnetic energy to vibrate sufficiently. So I know you're in fear. I have no idea how that benefits you, what problem that helps to solve, given our plight. Maybe I'm missing it. I think I'm about good. Let's see. Yeah, I'm about good. Let's do our last little section. If folks have any other comments, questions that they would like to chip in, you can feel free. So we're in chapter 4. This is in chapters, too. I've seen other times where people do notes. Sometimes it won't be chapters. There'll be sections of the book. But, yeah, this kind of is and the sections, they have subtitles, right? So, I mean, it's like it's giving the appearance that there's some effort at organization, but not really. So, all right, we'll pick back up. We are bloodletting. That's where we are, because I was trying to leap into that early. Bloodletting, that's where we'll pick up at, and we won't do too much, and then we can call it a wrap. Worst book ever. Context of White Supremacy, Dr. Layla O. Africa, The Nutritional Destruction of Black People, also known as Nutricide. Context of White Supremacy, short segment, thank goodness. Bloodletting. The Caucasian bloodletting
Superstitions, ceremonies, and rituals of their primitive Ice Age culture still genetically influence their behaviors. The Christians, in their celebration called Christmas, use a white sugar candy cane with red stripes on it that symbolizes the dripping of blood on the shepherd's cane. In the past, they used a bloodletting symbol called a barber's pole because early barbers performed bloodletting to cure headaches, colds, and flus, sex problems, and to do psychic readings. Today, they center their scientific studies, preventive medicines, laboratory values, tests for venereal disease or other diseases on blood. It is a characteristic of sick people to use bloodletting or to make blood in the bones while healthy. Africans make blood in the spleen and digestive tract. In African scientists, such as those of Dr. Imhotep, they use hair, skin, breathing, pulses, eyes, acupuncture, water, crystals, colors, metals, magnets, body sounds, and other modalities to diagnose and treat diseases. Blood can indicate personality types such as A positive blood type person is impulsive, B positive is emotional, AB positive is introverted, A positive and O positive are outgoing or socially gregarious. However, blood is a crude, primitive form of analysis, but the Caucasian Ice Age genetics, melanin, albino mind, and psychotic thought patterns lead them to violence, conflict, sex abuse, group sex, food, and drug addiction. White supremacy and bloodletting in the Caucasian history of cannibalism, eating animal flesh, the eating of the raw heart of murdered enemies, butchering one another in violence, as well as drinking each other's blood, including menstruation blood to cure diseases, is a psychotic custom. Blood has symbolic meanings. Today, Caucasians use blood red carpeting, red cars, say a soldier sheds his blood for the government, or that Jesus Christ gave his blood, can put symbolic blood on food, and Caucasian movies usually have blood and violence. Aside from this, they admire predators who kill and cause blood to spill. The Caucasian woman uses blood red lipstick, red finger and toe nail polish, red underwear, or light red clothing to symbolize a woman captured as prey. They roll out the red carpet to welcome guests. Blood is spilled in defeat, or if there is an economic loss, a businessman will say he is in the red. They bond relationships by mixing blood from each other's fingers, called a brotherhood bond. Blood means violence to them, and red represents a color of action, sex, power, food, and excitement. The Caucasian culture is so entrenched in bloodletting and symbols of blood that their mind cannot and will not see it. Caucasians love each other with a muscle that pumps blood. They use blood scientifically to indicate their relatives. In African divine kinship, relatives were related by God. Therefore, when an orphan slave child arrived at the slave quarters on the plantation, she was immediately adopted by a family and became a part of that family, accentuated by rituals. The child and the adopted parents became related by divine kinship through God. However, Caucasians are only related by blood. If Caucasians have a negative relationship with other Caucasians, they say there is a bad blood between them. It should seem apparent that Caucasian scientists would seek blood usage in their science. If they get sick, they put medicine in hypodermic needles and inject it into their blood via veins. To prevent disease, they put pus inoculations in their blood via veins. They force feed the sick with sugar and water and put in the blood via the veins. Ironically, if a Caucasian has one drop of African blood in him, then other Caucasians will consider him African or a mulatto. The value of blood has any sort of psychotic meaning Caucasians choose to place upon it. Today, in order to get married by Caucasian cultural standards, you have to do a bloodletting. If you want to attend their public schools or to do foreign travel or get some types of jobs, you must do a bloodletting, and or their pus peddler must give you a vaccination or inoculation into your blood. These are forms of primitive belief that bloodletting or animal blood or pus in the blood can save a life or protect the living from some evil. An animal's blood cannot make you healthy, spiritual, intelligent, or save you from white supremacy. Africans' blood was used in European rituals and ceremonies during slavery and colonialism. Bloodletting is a form of puncturing or cutting open the skin while being hung, using whips to draw blood. Castration and other forms of bloodletting for amusement were performed on countless children, pregnant women, and young girls, as well as men. The book Race and Civilization by Frederick Hertz can give insight into the cannibalism of Caucasians. White racism and superstitions cause Caucasians to discriminate against animal blood. They classify dark red blood as evil and white blood as good to eat. Consequently, Caucasian health food experts tell Africans to stop eating toxic red blood meat and to eat toxic white blood meat, such as fish, poultry, and pigs. The blood of any animal is at all times half filled with waste. If an animal's blood quarter
of the cells are dead, quarter are being created, and half are maintaining the body's functions. The half that are maintaining the functions are transporting waste and nutrients at all times. However, in the case of slaughtered animals, a toxic substance called adrenaline is released, and this poisons the carcass before death. The animal's blood, pus, and adrenaline give animal flesh its taste. If it were protein, the dead animal flesh eater wanted, then the blood and pus could be soaked out of the flesh. This would leave a bland tasting white grayish meat. The blood could be soaked out of the animal's flesh in salt and water. Whether it is cooked or raw, the blood, pus, and waste is delightful to the meat eater's taste buds. The practice by white racism of labeling red blood evil and white blood pure is psychotic value connected to bloodletting. Bloodletting practices help make the African mind crazy and nutricidal. The clan's diseases. Caucasian civilization has not evolved beyond the status of a collection of dysfunctional clans. It has been controlled by clans such as the DuPonts, Gettys, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Krupps, Hesses, Mellons, Hunts, etc. These clans use feudalism to manipulate and control themselves, dysfunctional Caucasian families, and Africans. They may label their clans as feudalist, capitalist, socialist, democratic governments, kingdoms, and empires or nations. When a few Caucasian families unite, they are erroneously called nations. However, they are clans that support and protect each other under the disguise of a nation. Their relationships are built on individualistic clan ownership and power. Their relationships range from family to clan to tribe to kingdoms and then to empires. African peoples' extended family society based on spirituality and humanistic relationships naturally lends itself to complex human structures such as tribes, kingdoms, and empires. Caucasian dysfunctional families are based upon mistrust, selfishness, rape, homosexuality, cannibalism, superstition, individualism, fear, drug addiction, and individual ownership. They have not been able to develop beyond governments of clans. This is reflected in the American economy, in which six or more families control over 70% of the wealth and resources and power. Caucasian clans base their definition of clan, tribe, kingdom, and empire on ownership of land, not on the Afrocentric value of contributing the most for the betterment of society. Thus, a British clan that controls major portions of land in Britain is called a government. A government through violence and human destruction that controls land in Europe is called a kingdom. Caucasian kingdoms that control lands in Africa are called an empire. Caucasian civilization has never and can never develop past the clan state. Their psychotic mental illness that created the mental disease of white supremacy hides from reality. They have not formed a sharing or acceptance with African people, nature, or the environment. They have never ecologically shared compassionately with nature and did not adapt to the Ice Age environment. They have failed to adapt to any environment. Caucasians are one of the only races to fail to adapt to nature. They did not develop ways to keep themselves in balance with their cold climate, vegetation, or even a rock. By comparison, the Eskimos mastered their climate, and the severe cold climate did not make them thieves, dysfunctional, violent, or mentally ill. Caucasians are not maladaptive. They are non-adaptives who are consumed with self-hatred and nutritional restraints. Nutritional restraints are the lack of nutrients caused by nutritionally poor soil, plants, and junk food diet. Nutritional restraints stop the body, mind, and spirit from using its full range of actions. It limits the mind's activities. The Caucasian's nutritionally deprived mind is genetically in conflict with itself, and their deprived diet malnourishes their dysfunctional families and clan society. Consequently, they cannot see, accept, or understand basic human rights of Africans. For example, it is totally wrong for a white public school teacher to teach an African boy or girl. White teachers transfer their cultural values and white supremacy to the African child. This cultural abuse of the African child also implants the essential ingredients of white supremacy. Humanistically balanced white teacher would automatically refuse to teach African children and would demand that Africans control their own Afrocentric curriculums and schools. However, the clan and feudalistic behaviors of whites will not let them see the harm that their public schools are doing to Africans. Aside from this, over $5 billion a year, special education businesses has introduced over 20,000 psychologists with their immoral and unethical lifestyle choice ideas. These ideas about homosexuality, drug use, and free sex as a lifestyle choice have caused an increase in violence, homosexuality, suicide, imprisonment, and drug addiction. Plus, only 1 out of 10 special education students graduates. The teacher and psychologists have classified children who react to oppression, white supremacy, and and malnutrition as mentally ill and made them into drug addicts. Ritalin causes cancer, cysts, and tumors of the liver. The non-addicted children are forced to socialize with addicts. This causes them to develop codependency mental illness. If there is to be a change in the Caucasian clan's public schools or diet, it will be Africans who directly cause it. Africans must change their diet to natural diet and disease treatments to natural remedies instead of using allopathic drugs. Currently, the Caucasian clan's diet has directly and indirectly caused AIDS to be twice as high among African women compared to white women. Asthma is three times higher in Africans than in whites. Breast and lung cancer is higher among Africans. Diabetes is three times higher among African women. Uterine fibroid tumors are an epidemic. 75% of African women have them as compared to 33% of white women. Infertility is at least twice as high among Africans. Depression is at epidemic proportions. Lupus is highest among African women, and over 50% of African women are overweight. Added to this is the Caucasian melanin destructive diet that holistically weakens the health of Africans and increases their disease susceptibility to the Caucasian clan's diseases. The facts have been compiled from data supplied by the Minority AIDS Project, Los Angeles, California, Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, National Black Leadership Initiative on Cancer, Bethesda, Maryland, American Diabetes Association National Service Center, Alexandria, Virginia, Black Psychiatrists of America Association, Oakland, California, Association of Black Psychologists, Washington, D.C., American Fertility Society, Birmingham, Alabama, American Dietetic Association, Lupus Foundation of America. Aside from this, the hoodlums of the medical clans and public hospitals will classify an African as mentally ill who has sunlight deficiency, yeast infection, melanin deficiency, food allergy, hypoglycemia, or chronic fatigue syndrome and send him to a psychiatrist. They do not help Africans with the disease. They merely prescribe toxic suppressive drugs that will suppress symptoms until the body heals itself, deteriorates, or dies. If you read the obituaries in the newspaper, it will reveal that doctors have not cured, controlled, or improved the health state of people. Caucasian medicine clans created by dysfunctional family clans continue to ignore the importance of melanin in Africans. Melanin on natural food diet free of drugs can coordinate and regulate cells, receive, interpret, and broadcast messages, destroy free radicals, can act without or with air, feed forward and feed back sympathetic and parasympathetic activity, travel anti-gravitationally and gravitationally increase oxygen utilization, and act as an enzyme. Melanin bonds toxins and attempts to transport them out of the body or converts them to a harmless state. Junk foods and drugs stop the conversion or transport of toxins, causing Africans to have an increase in disease and drug addiction. It is the clan nature of Caucasian society and medicine that creates nutricidal diseases and death among Africans. A book that can be used as a resource is Dirt by Terrence McLaughlin.
Context of white supremacy. I want to scroll back 1 second here. Crazy white folks. He has a whole section. Crazy white folks. That's what it's titled. Worst book ever. Let's see. Let me make sure I get that. Let me make sure I get that in. There it is. There it is. He says, let me give it. He says, melanin on a natural food diet free of drugs can coordinate and regulate cells, receive, interpret, and broadcast messages, destroy free radicals, can act without or with air, feed forward and feed back sympathetic and parasympathetic activity, travel anti-gravitationally or gravitationally. Let me sit myself down. Anybody out there? What does that mean? You can travel anti-gravitationally. What do you levitate? Is that what? That's what I mean about the details. It might just be that I'm a coon. I might, you know, I'm not in my Afro-spiritual canality. Maybe that's so. What does that mean? Can we get one more sentence on that? If you eat this raw food diet, are you going to levitate? I had my smoothie today. I haven't been able to levitate. What is anybody out there? Have you traveled anti-gravitationally? Your melanin is working. You're on a natural foods diet. Anybody out there? If you're aware of that, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Anti-gravitationally or gravitationally. You can turn it on and off. Like, what is... I can't. I got a Vitamix to play with.
folks have commentary, if we got anybody who can offer any insight on that, that would be awesome. Red in Ohio, retired firefighter. I'll look for other folks who dialed in. As I said, the second audio segments have been short. It was originally because my voice, I had injured my voice, all the stress with the Rona and everything. Now they're short just because I am repulsed with this book, and it's I can only read so much. Like, I have to read a little bit, and I stop. And then I read Afro-Spirituality, and then I stop. And I take a break, like, seeming like an hour 10, an hour 15 minutes is pretty close to my threshold with this book. So we will make do. Did folks have commentary they needed to get in? While folks are thinking about it, I'll read. Oh, Brett, were you there?
Sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Just real quick, because I don't have too much to add about this segment. The bloodletting, it did have more examples of what you're talking about with the list, and, you know, why white people do certain things, you know, with white women wearing lipstick and the red underwear. And it was sometimes with the information that he gives, it's like a few things can be verified, and then it's like it kind of goes off into, I don't know, kind of conspiratorial. I don't know if that's a word, maybe conspiracy. I feel like the only reason why I'm kind of understanding some parts of it is because of, again, just reading other things or doing other research. I like, especially with, like I said, like with the bloodletting part and like with white people ingesting blood. I remember there was this, I think it was a white princess or duchess, or I don't know what her actual classification was, but she used to kill her servants and underlings or whatever, and bathe and drink their blood until she was banished to like this tower. And then they also had like the Dracula, which was another white person who drank blood and stuff like that. So it's kind of like I understand parts of it again, but that's only because of the other information that I know about. Now I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Much obliged, Red in Ohio. Did you know Vitamix, the headquarters, is in Ohio? I didn't find that out until I became an owner, but they're right there in Ohio. Buckeyes and Vitamix. And right on topic, don't think I'm, you know, going off on no tangents here. We talked about before, this here book was published in the 90s. Would have been atrocious then. And we said, well, you know, maybe it was difficult, you know, because it was theorized that perhaps the health industry wasn't what it is now, where you got Whole Foods on every corner and everybody is vegan, or lots of people are trying to promote vegan life and all that. Maybe it wasn't like that when this book was published in the early 90s, so it was probably more difficult. And I said, wrong. Whole Foods was established, I think, 1980. The co-op that I like out here in the Seattle area was established in 1978. Vitamix, Ohio Strong, Go Buckeyes, 1940. White people bragging about get those vitamins in, be nutritionally sound so you can mistreat the Negros. Practicing racism, white supremacy a long time, and a segment of white people have been bragging about, you know, eating correctly and trying to eat well for a long time as well. Let's see. Retired firefighter, do you have commentary? I'll check for other folks also.
From my understanding, Adolf Hitler was a vegetarian also.
Excellent. I think his birthday was last month, or at least celebrated. Absolutely. A number of folks have pointed that out, that he was not.
Excuse me. Go ahead. Go ahead, Gus.
Oh, yeah. Proceed.
I was going to say he constantly teased Hermann Göring because he was overweight. So I mean, as far as nutrition and eating healthy, you know, it could be considered to be neutral in some cases when it comes to the global system of racism and white supremacy. White people could eat healthy also and still practice racism, white supremacy, is what I'm saying. I looked up, I put in the search engine, Google, and I mean, you probably did it also, African Liberation Army. And it came back only with Black Liberation Army, which is the organization that a lot of the Black Panthers, as the FBI and other unknown white-dominated organizations were going about the means of killing and or disrupting and or incarcerating the members. They went quote-unquote underground, and basically we know of, and we've read her book, Asada Shakur, and also Eldridge Cleaver was another faction that was involved with that. And one thing I could say that's a fact, both of them eventually, at the risk if they didn't do it, they would have been incarcerated or killed. They left this part of the world. Miss Shakur didn't, but she left the country, the place called the United States. Eldridge Cleaver actually, went, to, I forgot exactly where he went, but anyway, Algeria. It's irrelevant because he came back. Algeria, yes. Eventually, that's where he ended up at, him and his wife. His wife came, went afterwards, to meet him there. But eventually, he came back to this part of the world. Not only did he come back, he came back and joined the Republican Party on top of it. You know, I don't know what he ate, but anyway, those are facts. And that's the only information I got on the African Liberation Army. Okay.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. I did take a gander, Mr. Scotty Reed as well. I did take a gander in terms of searching online to see, you know, maybe I'm just ignorant. Maybe I'm, you know, confused about the African Liberation Army. And it redirected. I got Black Liberation Army. I got Symbionese Liberation Army and, you know, a few others here and there. But, I mean, and, again, now I got it footnoted. Bam! The whole reason on 106, he says, one can identify the many similarities or commonalities between the organizational structure, training, and discipline of the United States military and the African Liberation Armies. I'm having a hard time even identifying the African Liberation Armies or Army, much less the similarities between whatever you say that is and the United States military. Like, what? What are you even talking about? Like, man, I could have an easier metaphor. I could have an easier time if you were going to tell me I'm going to compare the Milwaukee Bucks or the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm going to compare and kind of, you see the similarity between them and the first grade basketball team. Now, that's not the same, but all right. You know, I can see, you know, you got some commonality. I don't even see nothing with the U.S. military and the African Liberation Army. Like, what? What is, what? Anywho, yes, much obliged. Founder of the Black Talk Radio Network, Mr. Scotty Reed, with us as well.
Oh, good evening, Gus. Can you hear me? I'm on my microphone.
You are crystal so far.
All right, thank you. First, let me say that it has been worth tuning in for the last 30 minutes or so just to hear your commentary about the book, because you have had me over here laughing because it's just so spot on. And I'm laughing not to be disrespectful to the other person, but not to be angry that someone is putting out pseudoscience in a book and calling themselves a doctor and what have you. So it's just been worth it to listen to your commentary. The firefighter mentioned Hitler was a vegetarian. I was just watching on Netflix a World War II documentary where they used the term vegan. And so he is correct. Hitler was a vegan. Black Liberation Army, I have interviewed over the years some of those people and their family members. It's Black Liberation Army. It's no African Liberation Army. And it goes back to your point of if this person used the editor. You know, I thought that was a very crucial point in terms of people who want to author books and even blogs and what have you. You know, it's important to have an editor if you can find one, you know. If I had been the editor, I would have been like, what do you mean? Do you mean the Black Liberation Army? I can't find the African Liberation Army. Who are some of the members of the Black Liberation Army or the African Liberation Army? Who are some of the well-known members? And then, you know, we could have found the proper name. To the pseudoscience, blaming violence on the cold. I lived in Detroit, where it would get very, very cold, probably from about 1968 to about 1979. If I remember correctly, and in fact, we have a trained epidemiologist who went to the University of Connecticut. She doesn't use her real name to protect herself professionally because she's still in the field. But she does a program on the Black Talk Radio Network, and she did a program on looking at statistical evidence, looking at the data, and she has one titled, When Heat Kills. When I lived in Detroit, when it was all that snow on the ground, we did not, I can't recall any gun violence. Not to say didn't any happen, but it just seems that the gun violence kind of escalates when it's hot. And I'll just defer to her in the information she shared again. But blaming violence on the cold, that's pseudoscience. White people aren't violent because they came from cold regions. And I imagine if she's talking about Europe or he's talking about Europe, because I'm not sure if it's a male or female. When I Googled the name, it came up with a female. And it sounds like you were saying he. I could have been mistaken about that. But last point, diet destroys melanin. Wow. I'm like, really? Because if we're eating, you know, the quote unquote American diet with all of this unhealthy food, well, that has been that since, let's say, plantation captivity during the pre-1865 period of slavery in the United States, I don't think that they was feeding those victims healthy food and what have you. Even though, because of now we have, like y'all mentioned earlier, GMOs, genetically modified foods, and foods are probably a lot worse than it was back then, even the quote-unquote scraps they was given back then. But if diet, if our quote unquote American diet destroyed melanin, then we wouldn't have any melanin heavy people. We'd all be looking like me or other of my family members who are quote unquote very light skinned. Okay. So, I mean, just pseudoscience, man. And then what really got me is it quotes a whole bunch of sources. But I bet you if you look up those sources, you won't find that type of information. You know, maybe you will. Maybe it is a pseudoscience website. I don't know those sources. But, you know, just thinking logically, diet does not destroy melanin or we all be light-skinned or red-boned, as they say. All right, thanks again, Gus. But, again, it's been worth it just to hear your breakdown. I think you're doing a great job.
What was the name, Mr. Reed? Much obliged for your commentary, especially the point about diet, so critical. I don't think, or they might say we had gardens back then. That's a good, that they might raise that one. But who was the name of the person you said you couldn't tell if they was a male or a female?
The author of the book that's listed on the promo page. You
posted. Dr. Africa. He's a
Nero Old Africa.
Yes, he's a black male. He passed away in March of this year. But yes, he was a black male.
Okay. Well, when I Google it, Gus, it's coming up. It's showing, the picture's showing up a female, but now I see one where it is showing a black male. So my mistake. But thank you again.
Yes, sir. That might be his wife, partner, that's in the picture, because they operate the website together and all of that. But yes, much obliged. They might say that. I don't know. They might say they had a garden back on the plantation days, you know, so that they could supplement, like they would, the plantation owners would starve them and give them, you know, chitlins or whatever else, but they could garden, and a lot of slaves did garden to supplement, so they, you know, they might say that that helped round out, because you probably would have had more black people gardening then than what you would have now. You got a lot of black people in the city now, so McDonald's, that type of thing, maybe. Does that make sense, what I'm saying, Mr. Reed? Oh,
yes, yes, it does. Again, you know, if we were eating unhealthy diets reduce your melanin, then it wouldn't be, you know, any heavy melanated people in these areas that are impoverished, because we know, you know, they living in food deserts and what have you, and not getting healthy diets. So it makes no sense.
Just trying to use logic. That is something that we promote heavily on the broadcast. Founder, Black Talk Radio Network, Mr. Scotty Reed, North Carolina. Using logic. Love it, love it, love it. Yeah, I just, you know, I might be, and I even, you know, I don't see a whole lot of references in the book, man. Like, he could have added a few more. Like I said, he does have the portion in the foreword where he says, you know, he gives his kind of disclaimer about why he does not include very many references or footnotes in the book. But yeah, like, it's, I mean, just to have so many, I'll say questionable, I'll try and soften it a little bit. I won't call it pseudos. I'll just, to have so many questionable claims, or claims that, you know, might not be readily accepted or not widely accepted, and to have sometimes no detail at all, no references, no nothing, just like, wow. Even if I agree, like, yes, melanin will allow me to travel anti-gravitationally. All right, I agree with that. Yes, I think that's true. But I can't get a few more sentences? Like, how? What does that mean exactly? How many carrots do I have to eat before I can get into my anti-gravitational melanin travel? Like, will that help me travel away from white supremacy? Lots of questions. Like, way more detail for the amount of, and again, we're just supposed to be talking about how to keep Mr. and Mrs. Negro from eating themselves to death. That's what's on the cover of this book, with a buzzard, a black buzzard, sitting on top of the tombstone. That's why we're reading this book. We do not want to be Mr. and Mrs. Negro who ate themselves to death. So what should we eat? And we got, come on. Did anybody have other comments that they wanted to make sure? Like I said, I would be, look what they call it, giving the side eye. Any black person, not Dr. Africa, because I appreciate that we had the folks who dialed in who said that they, like, met Dr. Africa personally. That's 1,000 times different. I'm not talking about that at all. Him going out, or anybody really, but him specifically, going out, working with black people. They said he helped them correct diabetes, high blood pressure, they were overweight, all the so-called comorbidities that they've been listing with COVID-19, going out and doing that work, that's spectacular. We need more of that. Going out and helping people get their diet together, what to eat, what not to eat, that's spectacular. We need more of that. This book is not that. Like I said, I would be stunned if I met somebody who, based on reading this book, man, Gus, I got my diet together. I got my Afro-spiritual canality together. In fact, I'm so together, I am doing my anti-gravitational
gravitational melanin traveling. Like, I would quit this broadcast. Like, woo, I am super misleading you all, and I'm going to get my gravitational float on. But in the meantime, I'm going to stick with what I said. Worst book ever. Let's see. Our female caller dialed in. Did you have commentary that you wanted to share? You should be with us, ma'am.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. Yeah, it was a lot. I'm going to have an unpopular opinion. The reason that I believe that this book could possibly be constructive is if someone was taking a critical thinking class. You know, you kind of learn the basics, and then you go through this book and go, well, this doesn't make sense because blah, 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 logically thinking. So kind of applying critical thinking to a text to see where these things do make sense or these things do not make sense. I think that may be the only way with this book to be constructive besides hearing your commentary and, like Mr. Scotty Lee said, just rolling on the floor laughing. That may be the way this book can be constructive if you're teaching someone, okay, this is what not to do. Here are examples of why and the effects of that. Thank you.
Wow. Has anybody taken, much obliged, ma'am, has anybody taken, like, a critical thinking class, like, to know, do they do that type of thing? Do they, you know, give you a text and give you something wacky like this, give you a really wacky text like this just to test and see, you know, what you think about it? Like, I, you know, am not a super smart person, so I need to maybe get me one or five of those critical thinking classes. But, man, if I got this book in a class, oh, my Lord, like, I wouldn't know what to do. Like, can we get an editor, please? Can we get a grammar teacher in? Let's start with that, and then we can work out from there. Like, whoo, I don't even. And I think it is important to point
those things out. And just because someone's name is doctor, you don't have to take what they say verbatim. You know, especially if you're a student, you're going to write term papers and things like that. This is why you need references. If you're on a debate team, you can't just say what you want to say. You need to have facts and things and references to back it up, 3, 4, 5 sources or something like that. You kind of have, because you can tell people that, and you can, you know, you should definitely show them the right way. You would definitely have a good example. But sometimes it's good to have a bad example. So this is horrible. See how horrible this is? We will laugh you off the stage. We will, you know, especially now people are teaching at home. I will fail you at home. You will fail homeschool. If you ever thought to bring something like this to me and tell me it was acceptable. I mean, sometimes people need to see how bad something is sometimes to know, okay, well, I can't do that.
Much obliged. I can only repeat, based on logical commentary that we just heard, I am stunned, because I've heard Dr. Africa's name mentioned before. I'd seen this book before. When I first moved to Atlanta, I went to the Black Shrine of the Madonna Black bookstore. It's like walking. I think you can see Morehouse and Spellman from the Black Shrine of the Madonna. It's super close. It's right in the, I think you can see the Georgia, well, maybe not. Well, anyway. But I went right there, and they had this book. They had Mr. Fuller's book, too. They had the ISIS papers, too. Lots of great material. This is not one of the great pieces of literature that they had. But I don't ever remember anybody saying, like, wow, that is a really incomprehensible, like, poorly edited, no reference, not practically, no practical application at all. Like, do not get Nutricide. Like, you don't even need to waste your time with that. Like, what are you trying? You need something on hell? Oh, okay, we got no problem. Yeah, put that down. Like, I don't ever remember anybody, you know, saying anything like that. Like, I knew people that owned the book. We had Pete Cow's listeners who said that they owned this book before we started reading it. And I'll say it again, not one of them said, oh, yeah, I finished that book in a week. Or I finished that book, period. Not one of them said that. That should stand out, too. But, I mean, man, like, what? Are people just not reading it? And just, like, based on Dr. Africa's legacy and what he did for them personally, just like, oh, okay, yeah, Nutricide must be great. Are people reading it and, you know, they're not finishing it? I don't know. Maybe some people, maybe they can do the anti-gravitational melanin travel. Maybe they got that, so all this makes sense to them. I don't know. Maybe they can do what we talked about last week. If you're on that natural diet, you don't need diapers. Maybe they got that. They haven't bought Huggies in, you know, a decade. They had five children. Nobody wears a diaper. They never had one accident. Maybe they got that. I don't know. That is lunacy to me. Like, it's so far, like, I can't even, I don't have another term for it. I would be lying if I tried to think, lunacy, unless we get some, and it would have to be, like, a whole lot of folks tell me what anti-gravitational travel is. And then give me a demonstration. And then show me how to do it. Tell me how you got the diet figured out for your child. You could sense when they were going to have a bowel movement to the point that they didn't need diapers. That's what he wrote last week. Break that down for me in a whole lot. And he didn't have any references for that either. Break that down for me in a whole lot of detail. Because I have a cashmere sweater and I'm holding a one-year-old. No diaper. Break it down for me so that I never ruin my sweater or my carpet. I didn't get that. Until then, same thing I said last week. Rubbish. You can use this book as toilet paper. Diapers if you need them. Any other folks have commentary, thoughts? I've been told that he's written a lot of books, apparently. This is the first book of his, Dr. Africa, that I read, so I can't vouch for any of his other books. Some of our listeners said that some of his other books are better in terms of being more organized and having more detail and just being better edited, I guess, apparently. I will not be, you know, in line to check out other books. Like, wow, worst book ever. And again, like, it's even like, you know, all I can do is make light of it because I'm appalled. I hadn't read this book before, so I didn't know what I was getting into. But I mean, we are reading this. We're in the middle of a health crisis. That's what they say. We're reading something to try to make better decisions with what we eat. I think that's important. He does from time to time talk about that in this book. I think that's important. That was what I was hoping was going to be the main focus. And I was very, very wrong. And man, some errors have extraordinary consequences. Like, wow, having to sit through this for I don't know how long it's been, but 5 minutes is too long. Like, my Afro spirituality is not like in rhythm with this at all. We will be here tomorrow. I am going to play with my Vitamix, though. Hopefully that will help me feel a little better. We'll be here tomorrow at same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, neutralizing workplace racism. Feel way better once we get to that program. Hearing they are reopening, so I guess it should be more people dealing with sort of back to normal work conditions. We shall see. We'll do the compensatory call-in this weekend. Young black girl got accosted at the mailbox just like Gus T. Renegade. Terrorism running rampant. The sickness is white supremacy. Quote Andrew Young again. We'll recap what has gone down the past 7 days this weekend. And Tuesday, the 26th, we should have Dr. Perry. He wrote the book Know Your Price. Just was published this month. He has been talking quite a bit about white supremacy racism being at the root of the so-called COVID-19 epidemic. I quoted him. His quote is not quite as good as Andrew Young's The Sickness is White Supremacy, but his was, there is nothing wrong with black people that ending racism won't cure. That one I thought was excellent as well. I made that a little sound clip also, but he should be hanging out with us Tuesday, the 26th, to discuss his book and how it relates to the health crisis we're in now. Hopefully his book will be much more logical with references. Whew, man, made it through the broadcast. We still have a lot of book left to go, but wow, it has been painful. Much obliged for the folks tuning in, suffering through it together. hopefully, I guess, providing a little levity during the crisis. And if you're doing critical, I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, what not to do. If you write a book, include references, especially if you know you're going to have any wacky opinions. And when I say wacky opinions that are not widely held, you too are going to write about melanin, anti-gravitational time travel, or some of the other. You are going to write about the African Liberation Army. You should have a lot of references. Get an editor. Make sure that you minimize your misspellings, typos, all of that. It's just, it's about clarity. It's not, in my view, it's never about, you know, making sure that I am complying with white people's standards of diction and language. That's not the purpose at all. The purpose is about sharpening your tools. Your tools, the system of racism, white supremacy, your words, how we convey our thoughts and ideas. When you write in a manner that makes it easy for people to read and understand what you say, even if they don't agree, it's much better where I know what you're saying and I don't have to guess. Now, did he mean mortality here or morality? And again, like, that is beyond, like, even if I don't agree with you, that becomes when we heard from our female caller when, like, oh, wow, like, I don't even respect this. Like, this is an abomination. It's not even about whether I agree with your viewpoint. This is so tacky, I don't even respect what you have to say. Polish your work. Get an editor. Present your material. You don't know what the circumstances are. Like I said, I didn't know he passed away, and I'm thinking we're going to read his book. Second time that they got us on him, somebody passed away, and we ended up reading a terrible book, but not again. But you never know the circumstances when, you know, you might be gone, and this will be the representation for your work and ideas, man. Woo! You want to strive for as much clarity, efficiency in presenting your ideas as possible. Strive for accuracy. Use logic. Man, those will be lofty goals. I'll leave it at that. Those are lofty goals. I often fall short myself, but that is the goal. Strive for accuracy, logic, clarity in presenting information. With that, we'll be here tomorrow, neutralizing workplace racism. It is Vitamix time. Woo, woo, woo. Let's see. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. Man, make sure your brain computer is operating. Even dealing with victims. I was going to talk about race soldiers, but even dealing with victims sometimes, you will need your brain computer operating at maximum efficiency. There is never a time that I can think of when you don't need logic and plenty of it. Being on all of those drugs and alcohol and all the rest of it, that is not going to help you think straight if you go out to check your mailbox and get accosted. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled. Again, you shouldn't be doing a whole lot of going out. 11-year-olds can't even check the mail without being assaulted by white terrorists, white women no less. So there should be a lot of thought. I've said it repeatedly throughout this. Like, the sickness is white supremacy. It's not really a good time to be out gallivanting and joyriding. We've had parents who say, hey, if you got children, keep them in the house for the time being until things have calmed down a little bit. It is not safe for a variety of reasons, and whites are at the center of all of those reasons. If you must go out, work, school, or not school, sorry, work, groceries, got to do an errand for your children or what have you, something essential, fine. But that would be real detailed, and I would be super alert to what is happening around you. So we're sober, we're buckled if you're going out, strategic and alert. If you are driving, you are not on the cell phone. We do not want any unnecessary attention under these circumstances. You got people that are being stopped and beaten, harassed for having a mask, for not having a mask, for checking the mailbox. System of white supremacy rampant in 2020. You do not want any excuses. Just little things that we can do to try to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no, never more emphasis, badge or
no. With that, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. Use logic, use logic, use logic, and plenty of it. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
no
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Shut I'm up. A victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.